Ladies and gentlemen, we are recording and broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Well, welcome everybody to the second regular meeting of the month of January of the Cambria Community Services District Board of Directors. Pleased to see everybody here today, and I hope that everybody has had a very healthy week since, or a couple of weeks since our last meeting. We'll commence then with, I'll call the meeting to order then, and let us commence with the Pledge of Allegiance. So would you all please join me? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America,
and to the republic for which it stands,
one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you, everybody. So I see that we do have a quorum. All five directors are present. In addition, we have Ms. Duffield for our finance manager, and Mr. Weigel, the GM, and the board secretary, Osana Tertarian, present. Also, Timothy Carmel and Chief Hollingsworth. We also have Charlotte Hollifield here, who has come to us from CCSD, the CCSDA folks, General Manager Weigold will be introducing her momentarily. And then in the audience presently, we have Alan Dean, Christina Tobin, Christine Heinrichs, Elizabeth Bettenhausen, Kathy Tanner, Melissa Bland, and Tony Church. So welcome to everyone. For the President's report today, it's very brief. The main thing I want to do is take this opportunity to give my thanks and the board's thanks and the community's thanks to our excellent staff, most specifically utilities manager, Ray D'Enzo, and our water staff, headed by Jim Green. They have worked well beyond the normal work days and work hours to get us back to having our San Simeon well field providing water to the community again. So we are no longer, I've been informed that repair has been made. I think you've seen the announcement, and Jim Weigel will talk further about it, but I wanted to just publicly take this time to really express our appreciation for the hard work, which was done by all involved. And I don't know how the rest of the community may feel, but be aware as to how close we were to having a real disaster on our hands. We were down to a single water supply off a single pump, aging infrastructure, and we were just very fortunate that we had not yet drawn all the water out of the Santa Rosa aquifer that we were permitted to draw. So we were able to survive. But it was a tricky business. If that had failed, we would all be drinking bottled water right now. So thank you all of our excellent staff. And anyone who passes them out there at work, do give them a shout out. I also want to just very briefly, again, this will all come out later on in some of the reports, but again, to emphasize for the benefit of the public, the fact that next week, Monday and Tuesday, the board will be engaging in what I would call a town hall followed by a workshop to update our strategic plan. And so what we will have is we will take the public comment on Monday, starting at 9 o'clock via Zoom, the folks who will be participating in the workshop will be attending at that time to hear your thoughts and feelings. And I want to assure everyone who is considering coming to that meeting on Monday that you will be given ample time to speak, and you will be able to say whatever you feel is germane to the problem. And you may even speak more than once, provided everybody has had a chance to talk. So I do invite that option for the you folks out there, our ratepayers and the other, what we would consider the stakeholders in the district, to give us your opinions and your thoughts, your concerns, hopes for what you want the town to look like in the future, and perhaps any fears that you may have as to what's coming down the pike. So enough said on that. But again, that's January. That's Monday, January 24th, starting at 9 o'clock. At January 25th is when the workshop will commence, and the public may listen via telephone. But it will be the workshop participants who will be all on the screen and working. So having said that, I'd like to proceed then with the agenda review, additions and deletions. Do we have anything? I have a few things myself. Maybe I should go first. On regular business, I'd like to change the order of things so that item C will be the first item. That's the discussion and consideration of strategic plan update. And so that will be first, followed by a item D, which is the continuation or the resolution of our, what shall I say, the emergency related to the San Simeon break, the break in the San Simeon water line. So that item D will be second, followed by item A, and then followed by item B. So are there any other changes, modifications to the agenda that Director Gray, I believe you're square turned green. So I thought, okay. So any board members interested in making, yes. Jim Mygold, please go ahead.
Yes, President Howell. One other change is the swearing in of the new SAFER firefighters. Two of the three are unavailable, and the chief would like to move that to February for all three to be sworn in together.
Okay. Thank you, Jim Mygold. So we will the swearing of the new SAFER firefighters will commence. I presume that will be the first meeting in February. Is that what? No, the second? That will be the second meeting in February. Thank you. So, yes, Jim Weigold, I wish to turn this away. Well, that's agenda. Okay, we're done. Any other issues regarding changes to the agenda? Seeing none, let us go to item two, which is awards, acknowledgments, and presentations. And Jim Weigold, would you please take it from here?
Yes, thanks, President Howell. We'll ask the district clerk to share her screen in a few minutes. But before Charlotte has a chance to speak, I want to say a few words about her. Charlotte Holyfield, who you see here, is with the California Special District Association, CSDA for short. This is a special district for those in the community that are unaware. This is our trade group in California for the 3,000 plus special districts. Charlotte serves as CSDA's Coastal Network Public Affairs Field Coordinator, and she oversees San Benito, Santa Cruz, Monterey, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, and Ventura counties. She was born and raised in Ventura County and now lives here in San Luis Obispo County. But she previously has a great deal of experience up and down the rungs, from a former aide to a U.S. senator and a field representative for a state senator in the coastal area. So she's very, very adept at our area. She also is probably one of the most efficient and people I've ever seen in these sort of trade groups, because she not only works on our behalf, she really does things. And so she has put together meetings with Senator Laird. She has facilitated and gives us a heads up when there are grants coming our way to apply for. And she was the one that helped us facilitate the $375,000 grant with Congressman Carbajal's office. And then gave us a heads up on that we should apply for Senator Padilla at the same time. And I'll address that a little later in the presentation. But the bottom line is she's really been a friend to Cambria Community Services District in a huge ways. And so if you haven't gotten a chance to meet her yet, here she is. And I'll introduce Charlotte. Thanks, Charlotte, for being here with us today.
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, General Manager Weigold. I really appreciate it. I've really enjoyed working with you and your district. It's just been a true pleasure. So it is a real pleasure to be here today on behalf of the special districts Association, and specifically on behalf of the Special District Leadership Foundation, to honor and recognize this important accomplishment that your district has achieved. So just a few words about the foundation. It is a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, and it is the foundation arm of CSDA. It is dedicated to promoting excellence in special districts through recognition programs that highlight and focus on implementation and governance best practices. Currently, there are four programs that the foundation administers, two for individuals and two for districts. One is the District of Distinction Accreditation, and the other is the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence, which is the reason I'm here with you today. So the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence program was created in 2013 as an effort to promote transparency in the operations and governance of special districts to the public and to provide special districts with an opportunity to showcase those efforts in transparency. So there are three main subject areas for this program. One, basic transparency requirements, which include current ethics training certificates for all board members, timely filing of the state controller's special district's financial transactions and compensation report. Two, website requirements, which include posting the board meeting schedule, the district's mission statement, the current audit and budget, and the board of directors roster with those terms of office noted. And lastly, outreach requirements. That may include a regular district newsletter, an annual informational public budget hearing, or other methods to communicate with the public. So why is transparency important? Well, the public has a right to accessible and open government, and special districts, regardless of type or size, are public agencies that use public money and provide public services. The district's business is therefore the public's business. And transparency means that a district is open, accessible, and engages the community. It also means easy access to district information through a website, which provides an opportunity for constituents to better understand the district. And in short, transparency allows for accountability. So earning this district transparency certificate of excellence means that the district has completed a comprehensive transparency checklist that includes website and outreach best practices. It's a tangible acknowledgement of the district's transparency efforts. It shows the district's commitment to being open and accessible to the public. And it displays a commitment to engaging the public and creating greater awareness of the district's activities. So I would like to note that your district was one of those that accepted CSDA's transparency challenge last year. I also want to recognize your staff's efforts and coordination to secure this award. I know there are a lot of boxes to check, literally, and requirements to fulfill, and it takes staff to shepherd it along. So that should be acknowledged. So now, on behalf of the board and staff of the Special District Leadership Foundation, it's my pleasure to virtually present the District Transparency Certificate of Excellence, the Cambria Community Services District, in recognition of the district's efforts to promote transparency in the operations and governance of the district. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Hollifield. I think that should be... Yes, Jim Wagle, please go ahead.
Yes, President Howell, I did want to point out that Haley Dodson was absolutely the key driver in this program. We started this shortly after the board established the goal of increasing and improving communication with the public. And so we thought this was hand in glove alignment with where we were heading as a district. And Haley really shepherded this program along. You can imagine there are a lot of different boxes to check, as Charlotte had outlined. And that was across the staff. It wasn't just administration. It wasn't just utilities. It was all departments at all levels. And Haley just did a phenomenal job of that. So I wanted to call her out. And then thank you again, President Howell, for allowing this presentation to happen today.
Thank you, Jim Weigold. And of course, thank you to our own Haley Dodson for her work on this, as you mentioned. And thank you, Ms. Hollifield, for bringing this to us. I think it really I have to say that over the course of time that I've in this period is that I've been director, I've seen that the website has gone through a number of improvements, and the whole as we continue to our efforts to be as transparent as possible. I would do that. This is a little bit out of place, but I'm reminded of something which I think maybe I should mention here because it kind of supports some of this. I happened to run across something on our website this morning, actually. I was researching something else and stumbled across a way. There is a place in there where the public can actually request items to go on our agenda. So I thought that was pretty cool, you know, and so those of you out there, if you go into the board meeting section, I think you'll find it there. So I can't really tell you exactly where, but I just thought that's at least I think our heart is in the right place on this. So it's a work in progress. We continue to go forward. But again, thanks to everybody involved. And thank you again. Ms. Hollifield for joining us today and presenting this award. We do really appreciate and all the help that you have done as well for us, for the district.
Thank you, President Howell. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, thank you for being here. Moving on then, we are now ready to do board member communications. So do we have any announcements? Any director that wishes? Ah, yes, I see Director Steidel followed by Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. I wanted to take the opportunity to mention that Tuesday of this week, I attended a Chamber of Commerce meeting. The purpose of that meeting was to honor and award their Citizen of the Year Award, who went to Cece Lamelli, and the Business of the Year, which was the Cambria Hardware, Chuck McMillan. There were plaques and letters of congratulations from the chamber, of course, but in addition, there was a certificate of congratulations from the SLO board supervisors, signature by all of the supervisors, by Assemblyman Jordan Cunningham, and by State Senator John Laird. And those certificates were addressed individually to Ms. Lomelli and to Mr. McMillan for Cambria Hardware. So just wanted to bring that to the attention of the community. If by chance they weren't aware of that, it's generally a very important element of how the Chamber of Commerce represents itself in the community. And I was pleased to be able to attend the Zoom meeting that facilitated those awards and the letters of congratulations and plaques that were provided to the awardees. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Steidel. That's, again, very useful for all of us to hear what's going on as we go out throughout the community. And those are certainly very significant awards. Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. I mentioned this last week, so I'm going to do it again now. The Green Space folks, about a year ago, they planted about 1,000 trees around San Simeon State Park, and they're planting about 900 trees this weekend. So I just want to encourage folks, I mean, the weather is beautiful, be a nice time just to get out there close to nature and replenish her with planting seedlings. And this is once again going to be in the state park area up around the Washburn Campground. So if you're interested, by the way, it's this Saturday and Sunday, and folks will be meeting at 10 o'clock at the San Simeon, like I said, the San Simeon Creek Campground. And I think most of you know where to enter the campground, which is just off of San Simeon Creek Road, right after you make a right on Highway 1. But you do need to wear a mask to enter the campground, and you just tell them, I'm here to help Green Space plant trees, and they'll let you right through, no problem. And then once you, then you can arrive at where everything is taking place and participate. So I just want to let you know, probably the ground is pretty soft. We have a lot of rain in December. So if you wouldn't mind, you'll have to provide shovels and knee pads and maybe wear some boots, although it doesn't look like that's necessary, and maybe a hat, maybe some sunscreen, bring some drinking water, some gloves. So you provide what you need, they'll provide the trees, and it's a win-win all the way around. Like I say, you might even meet people you've never met before, make some new friends, plant some new trees. It sounds like a real real opportunity just to enjoy, spread some joy on your Saturday. So once again, it starts at 10 o'clock this coming Saturday, and also, I should say, 10 o'clock this coming Sunday. And if you'd like more information, you can contact Bob Fountain. He's the main fellow, just to let him know that you're going to be showing up. So his email address is bobfountain, F-O-U-N-T-A-I-N, at charter.net. So bobfountain at charter.net. Get in touch with him, and he'd be glad to hear from you and show up on Saturday and Sunday. And thanks so much. Thank you, President Howe.
Thank you, Director Farmer. And thank you to Greenspace for all the work that they're doing to help, you know, this wonderful forest that we have here, which is so important to our community. Are there any other directors that wish to make an announcement or a comment? Okay, seeing none, we're ready for the next item of business, item four, which is public safety. And for that, is there anyone from the Sheriff's Department here today? I don't see anybody.
Yeah, I had invited them, but I don't see them in the attendees.
Okay, we can only assume that they are extra busy. So let us move on to the fire department, fire chief. So Chief Hollingsworth, the floor is yours.
Good afternoon, President Howe and board. Thank you for letting us be here today. Reporting on the month of December of 2021 and the closeout for the year. For that month, we had 115 emergency responses, which is back towards the norm of what we would typically do pre-pandemic. 53 of those were emergency medical responses. We ended the year with over a little over 1,050 emergency calls for the year. Again, that's a little bit low compared to our trend, but we're starting to see those numbers go back up. Wanted to give you a real quick a synopsis. We had an excellent season of hope partnering with KSBY, had an immense amount of product turned into the fire department, both food for those that need it and then the Toys for Tots. So we were able to help the food bank and the Toys for Tots for the community. And we continue to do that every year, have plans to do so again. We're very pleased to be able to participate and partner with them for doing that. Want you to notice that if you look at the fire chief's report, you'll notice that there were 14 plan reviews for the month of December. That is almost twice what our average is, because at the end of every year that we always get a big push for people that want to get stuff done prior to the end of the year. We are not at the deadline of a fire code change. That's the other time we see stuff change like that. That won't be till the end of this current year. But it does take an immense amount of time to prepare and all of those fire plan reviews. Every one of them has to be considered unique because of the situation they're in. I also want to give you a real quick heads up on where we are on the grants. We're finalizing the COVID grants. We still have some money left in there, and we're petitioning them for an amendment to be able to purchase additional things outside of what was initially given and granted us. That's a common thing to do when you have excess money in a grant, and we absolutely don't want a penny of that to go to waste. So we're working on that now. We're also continuing to partner with the county chiefs for the Zone Haven grant. And we are in the purchase process for the radios, the radio switch outs for all the mobile apparatus. So that's in process as well. And that'll be fully funded and reimbursed by San Luis County Office of OES. I wanted to also just close up today with the most recent safety bulletin our department has published. It's in your packets today. It's going to be on the website shortly, and it's for opioid awareness. This is a fairly significant issue for emergency workers, specifically my personnel, but we handle all emergencies with a presumed amount of danger inherent. So we use the gloves and the masks and everything that go along with it. But opioids, specifically fentanyl type medications, are over 100 times more impactful than some of the more routine narcotics that we have dealt with in the past. And we have numerous reports throughout the state and country of emergency workers getting and coming in contact. I mean, physical contact by touching the powder or liquid, and then within minutes being unconscious on the ground and not being able to breathe. And so it's something that is fairly significant, and it's something that we take very seriously, and obviously that can happen to anyone. So the flyer identifies a number of what these opioids are that are in common use for by prescription from pain physicians. We frequently, as a retirement community, if somebody has been in long-term care and passes, they may have a lot of this kind of medication at home. It cannot be dropped off at the fire station, so please do not do so. But there, almost every pharmacy will take them. And there's a whole series of phone numbers at the bottom of this chart that you can contact to be able to not only dispose of them if necessary, but if you have additional questions or about their use or how they're prescribed. It's an excellent medication and helps a lot of people in very difficult times. It's just something we do need to be careful of. And with that, I'm over to you for any questions.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Chief Hollingsworth. So do we have questions from the board or clarifications, anything like that, commentary? Seeing none, let me go briefly to the public to see if we have any public comment regarding the Chief's report. Do we have anything out there in the public? I'll give you just a second here. Not seeing any, I don't see any hands going up. Osana, do we have any written comment for this item? Okay, no written comment. So moving right along, we are now going to the actual public comment section of the meeting. And before we commence, I do want to just make a brief comment again. As before, Osana will bring you in as a panelist when you're speaking to us. It does give you the option of turning on your camera to be seen. And I know that a number of you have requested the ability to see one another. However, as we've offered this to you, I have to say everyone is being very shy. And so it's not required that you turn your camera on, but I'm just with some comment that it certainly is an option for you, should you choose to do that. So let us then go to public comment, and I see Christine Heinrich. So Osana, would you please bring her in? And that will be followed by Elizabeth Bettenhausen.
There. Ah. We got picture and sound.
Cool.
What next? Thank you. At last week's meeting, Director Stidell raised the issue of Skate Cambria's formal organization as a significant problem in moving the problem forward. It would have been preferable if Director Stidell had raised this question with the PROS Commission. PROS Chair Steve Niffen and Auxiliary Member Julie Amadei are capable of resolving this and other issues regarding the skate park. Public-private partnerships often have individual inconsistencies to resolve. The permit application will require a similar commitment to resolving inconsistencies with an eye to success. Bringing the skate park to fruition requires thoughtful participation that supports the efforts of all involved. I encourage all the directors to be helpful and positive in their support for the skate park. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Okay, let's see if that will be now Elizabeth Bettenhausen. Osana, if you please. Okay. Welcome, Ms. Bettenhausen.
Oh, thank you. I said I'm not using my video because I'm so transparent that you would not be able to see me if I went on video. So I just will spare you that dilemma. I want to thank you all for being here today. It's a gorgeous day outside, and the fact that you are all inside working away diligently impresses the populace mightily. I want to raise an issue here. I'm very grateful that the billing summary for November and December has come out. I don't want to address that. That's a finance question. But I do want to address this aspect and be tediously repetitive, as you many will hear as I say this. Where on the CCSD website is it posted about water usage? how much water do people use in Cambria? And do residents use more than commercial, or do commercial use more than residents? Raise your hand if you know where it is on the CCSD website, please. I see no hands raised, because I will inform you, as you actually, I'm sure, do know, the only place you can find that information is in the finance department billing summary. You cannot find it under water. You cannot find anywhere else. I have asked repeatedly over at least 7 years, and I think more, if it would be possible to put this on the CCSD website, so that when we tell people, as we walk in the community, on the ranch, wherever, we tell people, oh, it's wonderful, we're really conserving water here. And they say, where can I look that up? Well, friends, please put the information on the website. Having looked now at the year 2021 comprehensively, I can say that once again, the residential use of water is down where it was before the pandemic, and the commercial use of water is up. And I don't know if the balance, if you like the ratio of the one to the other, that's not my point today. My point is, please make this information on the usage of water in Cambria available readily to anybody who wants to just open the website and find out. Otherwise, the only way you can find that out is to get on my emailing list when I send it out bi-monthly to people who want it, my little table from 2013, or you can actually call CCSD and ask. I thank you very much for the opportunity to make public comment, and I'm sure that many people are somewhat mystified by the option of doing it also on the 24th, because that agenda is not yet posted for your strategic plan workshop. And I think nobody else in town, other than a few of us, have any idea that the public is supposed to take up the time on Monday. And you will think about what we said on Tuesday. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Is there any further, any other folks out there in the public that would wish to speak at this moment? I'll give you just a minute here. Okay, Osana, do we have written commentary? Okay, no written commentary. Well, thank you out there for the two speakers did raise some very good points that we'll certainly consider. The availability of usage information on our website is probably something that we might want to look at. And of course, the appreciation that the suggestion that we all kind of join in moving forward with the skate park, I appreciate that thought. I will point out that the board has been fairly clear in this issue that it is something the board wishes to have happen as a majority. And moving right along then, no further commentary. I will take the time that at the moment there are presently 12 folks, not counting our AGP monitor, are presently out in the audience. So again, welcome to anyone who's come in late. We'll now commence with the manager's report. And what we'll do here is I will take commentary prior to each report so that if a question is raised or an observation is made which the reporting could be addressed during the report, it gives the person giving the report that option. So first we will have the general manager's report. So is there any public commentary? There should be questions or observations regarding the general manager's report. I see Christine Heinrichs. Ms. Heinrichs, so Osana, would you please bring Ms. Heinrichs in?
Yes, here I am again. I do have one question on the point of the electric vehicle charging station inspection. Was that done as planned on January 13th? And will the charging station be moved from its current location, which was creating some problems? If so, will that involve additional inspections? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Is there any other comments before we commence with the manager's report? Osana, do we have any written commentary relative to that?
Okay.
Only Christine Heinrichs, and I think she just spoke about that.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Asana. So, GM Weigold, the floor is yours.
Thank you, President Howell. Just wanted to make another reminder on the strategic planning workshop. The public will have an opportunity on Monday morning at 9 a.m. via Zoom video to share any of their thoughts. We'll be asking specifically per the forthcoming agenda that we'll be posting either later tonight or tomorrow morning. We'll be asking for district strengths, district weaknesses, and three-year goals. And so any inputs regarding those items specifically or anything else that the public cares to add will be super helpful. And then on Tuesday, actually we'll adjourn the meeting on Monday and reconvene the meeting at about 8:30 on Tuesday morning for the full day workshop, which should wrap up by 3:30. And we'll have a couple of breaks in there. We'll have breakout sessions as we normally do. The reason we haven't posted the agenda yet is we're waiting for the board to approve and add any changes to the strategic plan update today. That's the reason why we had to move it up ahead, because while you're debating the next follow-on agenda items, I'll be updating that grid and pushing it over to Asana so she can embed that in the agenda and post that later today. As far as the rest of my report, I wanted to point out a few things. On the grant side, so we have the ability, and I'd like to notify officially the board here and now that I plan to pursue a Cal Recycle grant. This is has to be applied for by 1 February, and this is to help implement SB 1383, which is the new state requirements for recycling organics. So there are a number of items that money can go for, including education and outreach, collection, edible food recovery, capacity planning, procurement requirements, et cetera. And so we'll be coming back to the board in February to approve a resolution, which we have to submit by March 1st. There's no match here though on this. And this is an item that will help us out in the long run to defray some of the costs of this transition. Also on the grant side, I happened to total up last night the grants that we had just for the last 6 months, some of those we applied for before that, but it looks like we're totaling about $1.65 million in grants in the last 6 months to the district. Included in that was an item from that Kathy Tanner actually brought to our attention this morning, because Senator Padilla released a press release this morning indicating that Cambria is awarded or potentially awarded $200,000 toward our desalinization plan. Now, that's really confusing both to all of you out there and to me and the staff. So we are running that to ground. We think this is from an open grant with the Army Corps. And so, but we'll come back to you with more details on that, but we just don't have any further information. We're linked up with the Army Corps and they are researching it because they're not quite sure what this is either. I wanted to also stop my foot because we are resuming utility billing and late fees. And that is something that the board approved back in 2020 and left up to the general manager to continue as required. And we've been honestly monitoring this a great deal because the COVID conditions honestly had a big impact on this, both from a state standpoint. The governor, for example, had had waived any or had forbid any shutoffs of water and utilities. Right. And so so we had to observe that. That has expired. And we also have been extending the waiver of late fees. But we honestly internally have been looking at that each billing period. And it honestly looks like some people are starting to take advantage of that. And we're actually lagging behind all the other special districts in the area now. Who have gone away from that, but I did want to because this came in late, I wanted to share my screen real briefly. And just outline here that hopefully you can see my screen.
Yes. Yeah.
You'll note in the highlighted yellow sections that the general manager is authorized to extend the suspension of both late payment charges as well as the suspension of discontinuance of water and sewer services for non-payment. So through your resolution, we've made the decision to cease the suspension of both of those now. And so we made those announcements both here in my general manager report. The finance manager will talk about that. And we also included a note in all caps on the utility billing that just went out last week. We'll talk more about it in one of the regular business items, but as President Howell alluded to, The water main repair project for the San Simeon wells is completed and reconnected, and we are now operating on San Simeon well water again. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit more. Question came up about the EV charging station. So the inspection for January 13 did not happen, but it did happen this week. So that final inspection happened, and we passed. It was really between the contractor and the inspector. Our next step now is to file for the remainder of the grant money for that project and close out the construction permit. Next on our agenda, though, will be to craft an operating procedure for that, along with a fee schedule that we'll need the board to approve. While that's all in process, question came up about, well, what's next as far as moving and relocating the charging station? That is an entire new permit. So we will have to file a new permit with the county. It's just as if we're installing all over again, just to move it. Unfortunately, it's not as simple just to move it down on our own. So we'll have to go through the permitting process, which will likely involve additional plans that'll have to be crafted for that. Our plan right now is to move it down to the left a couple of spots to free up the original ADA spot on the end for the American Legion. We'll be back to you with more costs and associated requirements as needed here in the coming month or two. And I wanted to make one final note on COVID. Obviously, it's been a big issue. We are and continue to be impacted greatly by COVID. We've been working through COVID for almost 2 years now, but it's now impacting the staff more specifically in the last couple of weeks with the Omicron variant. So we are handling each individual case on a case-by-case basis. What do I mean by that? Some people can do their jobs remotely and are in a condition where they can work remotely from home. If that's the case and they're able to do that, we'll go ahead and allow that. There are some people that can't do their jobs remotely, but yet have to quarantine or have to isolate per county guidelines. Haley Dodson's been doing a fantastic job of keeping track of the constant changes through the county, the state, and CDC rules. And I should add OSHA rules, because there are really four sets of rules that we're keeping an eye on. The ground truth for us is county, but there are a lot of other impacts. So this has been an ongoing challenge. You don't see it very much, but we deal with it every single day. It slows us down. All our vendors and outside groups and agencies that we work with are all impacted. Most of them are still working remotely. And so that tends to slow things down in a great deal. And so if it seems like things are taking a little longer, that's probably the first reason why I'd point to as things are taking longer than expected. It's just things are really slow. And the other issue is the Omicron variant has caused people to be out to isolate, more people to be out and isolated. And some offices and groups that we work with are more impacted than others. It just depends. But we're taking going to great lengths here to keep everybody safe as possible. We've reinstituted, I think, as I mentioned last week, some additional precautions that we had put in place a year ago that we've had to go back to. But it's a pretty contagious variant, and we're seeing the impacts now. Depending on your questions, that concludes my part of the brief, and I'll pass it over to Carlos next, depending on your questions.
Okay. Does anyone on the board? Yes, Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell. I just want to make a couple of comments on what General Manager Weigold has mentioned. First, I guess on the positive side, it's nice to know that we've gotten over $1.5 million of grant money in the past 6 months. So obviously, there's members of staff that are very active in that area. So that's a good thing to hear. And maybe even the Army Corps of Engineers is going to be helping us out financially as well. But I do want to make a couple of comments. First off, with regard to what happened with the EV charging station, and now we're going to have to back up and redo this all over again, which is going to require staff time. And often we hear that members of the community are taking up staff time for various items that they're requesting or whatever. But in this case, somehow something fell through the cracks with regard to the installation of the EV charging stations. We don't know how that necessarily happened, but as a result, more staff time is going to be required to start this project all over again. I just want to point that out. And that's an unfortunate set of circumstances. Also, it troubles me that I see that near the end of the general manager's report here, just before human resources, there's a report on the East Ranch restroom project. You know, rarely do we have anybody attending the meeting and commenting in public comment or whatever on the restroom project, but we frequently have folks attending our board meetings, and whether they comment or not on the skate park, they are here to get information with regard to what's happening with the skate park. And obviously much is going on, and yet there's actually no skate park update. So even if nothing were going on, we should get an update that, well, at this point, there's nothing to report regarding the skate park. So I just wanted to comment on that. And one more thing, and I could probably wait until the finance manager gives her report with regard to a comment that General Manager Weigold made, and he made this once before, saying that some ratepayers are taking advantage of being able to pay their water bill late, the water and sewer bill late. And I just want to say, and maybe it's because I kind of still work, and I don't make a lot of money, but I know how Inflation is out there affecting people who don't make a lot of money. And just getting the basics, you know, going to the store, especially for folks with a family, going to a store, getting groceries, buying gas to go to work, that type of thing. All of those things have gone up. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they have the right, so to speak, to pay our bills a little bit late. But I don't think that people are necessarily just saying, well, the district's allowing us to do this, so we'll pay our bill a little late. I think it has a lot more to do with the fact that people are just really stressed right now financially in many ways, such as I just mentioned, and probably in other ways as well that I'm not aware of. I just want to put that out there. And it's probably going to be, now that people won't have the opportunity to pay a little late, that might just cause more stress for folks that are out there just barely making it financially. Well, those are my comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Any other comments or questions for GM Weigold? Yes, Director Dean, Vice President Dean.
I just want to make a comment on the electrical vehicle charging stations, that if we're going to go through the expense and the hassle of moving these things, I want to make sure that there's a discussion together with the members of the Legion on the position where they're going to be moved to, and also that it's brought to the board where they're going to be moved to, so we don't have any misunderstandings later on and have to go through this again. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a question for council relative to this. The additional expense to move the charging station, would I be correct in assuming that we can recover that through our rate?
Which rates did you have in mind?
For the rate that we charge to use the charging. Oh, yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's mainly a matter of inconvenience rather than a financial problem, the issue of moving there's a permitting issue and a time issue, but there's the financial issue can be handled. Okay, anyway, any other commentary? I think for that, then we're ready for the next section of this report, which will be, I believe it's the, facilities and resources. So, Mr. Mendoza, would you please commence? The floor is yours.
Yes, thank you, President Howell and board members. Appreciate the opportunity to provide a report on the Facilities and Resources Department, mainly for the month of December. And I've attached, as usual, pictures on my report and a little description, and I'll try to be brief. Mainly during the month of December, we had several storms that came through Cambria, and we had a number of trees that came down and blocked trail access on the Fiscalini Ranch. Fortunately, few trees did come down, and they were fairly small, as you can tell in the picture, so we were able to get those trees cut up and the trails reopened relatively quickly. Sad part is that on the eastern part of the Fiscalini Ranch, there is a sort of a historical sign there that did suffer some damage. About half of the sign came down during one of the storms in December, and contacted the Chamber of Commerce about the damage. They have already hired a contractor. They have somebody on schedule to come out and make the repairs on that sign and get it back to good condition. They're mainly waiting on the ground to be hard enough for vehicle access to be able to get out there and make those repairs. That's why you haven't seen the sign back yet. But I did speak to Mel McCulloch earlier this week, and they're looking maybe towards the end of this week, if not early next week, to start working on that sign. One of the other areas that we have been working on in the past month is trees, specifically on CCSD-owned lots. It seems like there's usually about two time periods of the year that we're dealing with CCSD lots and trees. One of those is during weed abatement time for obvious reasons. And then the second one is during winter storms, as neighbors are starting to notice trees that are dead or they're concerned about trees. And so we've applied with the county to remove three Monterey pines on a CCSD owned lot on Ramsey. The neighbors there were concerned about the health of the trees and asked for us to go out there and take a look at them. When I went out there and inspected the trees, they were stressed. They had disease on them. They were in really bad shape. We had the county inspector come out, and they gave us the go-ahead to go ahead and remove those three Monterey pines. So we'll be working on that here during the next month to get those trees down. And also just wanted to update the board on the repairs here at our facilities, our headquarters from the storm back in January 2021. We've continued to make good progress on those repairs. I'm actually happy to report that in that long list of items that were damaged, we're down to the last two items on our list, which is to replace section of fence here and also to replace a shed. But other than that, all of the major items that we had here damaged have been replaced, have been fixed. And I just wanted to publicly thank the board for providing those funds earlier in the year and allocating the funds for us to be able to do that. That has allowed us to make significant progress in those repairs. And then one last item that I just wanted to report on. It's not on my manager's report, but the general manager wanted me to just give a verbal update on some of the homeless encampments in town. So we were able to conduct a site visit on some of the areas, Fiscalini Ranch and CCSD-owned lots, that we have seen some issues in the past with homeless encampments. We were able to find an encampment underneath a bridge across Cambria Drive on highway. There's another encampment underneath the second bridge on the highway as well, across from the Santa Rosa Creek trailhead. And there is multiple encampments right next to that bridge, right along the Caltrans right away. Those are the same encampments that I had reported on months ago. I had Caltrans supervisor come out with me a few months back. We walked the sites. I showed them the encampments at that point, so they're aware of their location. And I also sent them an update yesterday afternoon of what we found. The unfortunate thing is, as these encampments have been left, they have grown in size. And so we've gotten a few calls from concerned residents about particularly the encampment along the highway. For one, the trees, the willow trees, have shedded a lot of their leaves. So that's exposed the encampment a little more. And the size of the encampment is about twice the size as it was a few months back. So that's sort of been causing that visual effect as people are driving by. They're noticing the size now. I'm happy to report that none of those encampments are on CCSD property. They're all on Caltrans right away or on bridges. And again, I've notified Caltrans of the size and their location again. And I'm happy to answer any questions if you have any on my report or any other thing that you would like clarification on.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Do we have questions from the board for Mr. Mendoza? Yes, Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Howell. Yes, Carlos, thank you for your good work in all the areas that you just brought to our attention, especially out on the ranch. I want to ask you with regard to the homeless folks. I'm assuming that, as in the past, these are people that are just like, how could you say it, transiting through our area. They see that this is a pretty cool place to just kind of stop off and camp for a while, as opposed to folks that have been here for a while and have moved over there. Are some of these like returning from, they might have been here in the past and then they moved on and now they're coming back? Do you have any idea what that might be? I don't know how important that is. I'm just curious.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's actually a good question. A lot of the people living in these encampments are actually the same people that have been around for a while. So they've just been moved from one place to the other, and they've found a location that they know It's going to be a little hard for them to get moved on from. So as they're staying there, they're building their encampment a little larger, but it's the same folks that have been here for a little while now.
Interesting. Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Yes, Director Gray. Oh, sorry, Director Farmer, are you finished there? Did you have a follow-up?
No, I was just thanking Carlos for his comment. Thank you.
Very good. Yes, Director Gray.
Thank you, President Howell, and thank you, Carlos, for the pursuing the frustrating task of the dealing with the homeless encampments that keep coming back. I had a question specifically about the what seems from your summary, the prevalence of the camps on Caltrans right away, and which I assume under the bridges is also Caltrans. How would you rate Caltrans's level of assistance and cooperation? And is there anything we can do to make their performance a little more, you know, raise their level of performance in dealing with this issue?
Yeah, Mr. Mendoza, could you answer that?
Yeah, so it's hard to rate them, mainly because they're working under some guidelines that are coming from the state. And so as the pandemic hit, rules came down on Caltrans, which basically they were told not to evict anybody during the pandemic. And so they have had very little power to be able to move people out of the Caltrans right away or underneath the bridges. When I met with the inspector, with the supervisor, Caltrans supervisor for the local area here a few months back, that's what he conveyed to me, that their hands were pretty much tied. They have been very responsive in emailing me back, meeting on site, talking about the issues. If the encampment is abandoned, they can act on that encampment. They can actually go out there and clean up the mess, clean up the site. But as far as when it's a occupied encampment, they're basically, their hands are tied at that point. Now, it may be time that, you know, our GM or our board members maybe make a call or reach out to them so that it's not me, the squeaky wheel, giving them a call every time. Maybe it's somebody else's voice, and maybe they'll hear that voice and they might be able to act then. And dealing with these issues.
Okay.
And a quick follow-up question. How far up should that call go, ideally?
Well, I think we can start with the local folks here, Caltrans. But I think it's not just us that are dealing with this issue. I mean, I can see, you know, all of the communities through California are dealing with the same issue with the Caltrans right-of-ways.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I think when we get into fire season, this conversation may take a little greater importance. At any rate, I think we're ready. If there are no further questions for Mr. Mendoza from the board, let us then move to the finance manager's report. So, yes, Ms. Duffield, you have the floor.
Thank you, President Hall, members of the board. Good afternoon. I'll make my report brief. I just wanted to highlight a couple of items for you on page 23 of my report. Just kind of talking and giving you a quick recap on grants. So again, we don't have any next steps from FEMA submitting our COVID costs to them. You know, I reach out to them every month or so, and I pretty much just get a response saying that they're still reviewing it. So if they ever come back, it might be a miracle, I don't know, but it's been a really long time. We do have active involvement going on between the district and Cal OES to recover and hopefully get some of the costs recovered from the January, February storm and flooding that we had. We have submitted a lot of cost information to them. They've toured our sites. So the status that it's at currently is that Cal OES staff takes all the information that we're giving them. They create what are called preliminary project worksheets. And then they have to send that to their superiors. The team that we work with have to send that up the chain to their superiors to see if those projects will in fact be funded. So, you know, everything looks very positive at this point, but again, you know, we don't know what will pass the test and what will not. So we're still working through that process. On a happier note, we did receive an allocation of funding through the state for COVID relief. Back in October, we were sent like a 10-question inquiry on what our COVID costs were. They wanted to know our annual budget for a couple of years and some periods. They wanted to know the revenue stream that we had received over certain periods as compared to like after COVID hit, you know, and things like that. And luckily I had the worksheet that I've been keeping up that we submitted to FEMA with like all the costs, and I've been keeping it up. I've put all, you know, every time we buy hand sanitizer, every time we buy a mask, you know, I try to keep that up on that worksheet so that we have a total cost. You know, we had to pay emergency sick leave to employees for, you know, a period of time when that law was in effect. You know, that's on the spreadsheet. We've waived, you know, late fees and, you know, 48-hour notices and shutoff fees. So those are on the list. So I sent them, you know, well over $100,000 in costs that we have incurred since March of 20 for this, you know, during this COVID event. And so we were fortunate enough to receive a small allocation. You know, $25,000 is still something that'll, you know, repay some of the costs that we've been experiencing. So that's really good news. It happened really fast on the scheme of the state and getting any kind of funding, you know, from October to, you know, we just got the check last week from the county. It was dispersed to the County of San Luis Obispo Auditor Controller's Office. So to have something, you know, you basically submit information for it and then you get a check within a couple months, that's really awesome. So we do have that. Then on the shutoffs and the late fees, changing to a different topic. As the general manager pointed out, we've been waiving those fees for a significant amount of time, you know, as a result of COVID and the challenges that people have faced. I personally think there are residents that have taken advantage of it, because when we first started COVID, people were very eager to get set up on a payment plan with us. We've extended the payment plan more than two billing cycles, like has been our normal practice. We've extended it, you know, for some people as far as 6 months to a year, depending on their situation. You know, we're extending those much longer, but we can't work with a customer if a customer will not contact us back. So, you know, that's kind of what we're facing. You know, we call and call and call. They're past due for 4 to 5 to 6 billing cycles, and we get no call back. Well, if we were in active, you know, late fees and active water shutoff, that would not be occurring. So that's why we're saying we think people are taking advantage of it. If they need a time to extend it, if they, you know, can't make it over a 2 month cycle, we're working with people to do that. But again, we have to have them contact us and we have to have that communication in order to make that happen. So that was the gist behind that statement that was made. Anyway, so we did put a note, as the general manager said, on the bill, letting people know that this, they would be reinstated. As people have been calling and questioning that, we're making it very clear to them that it only is for the current billing cycle that they just received the bill. If they have a previous past due balance, we're not going to go retroactively and apply any late charges. We're not going to apply that. So it's kind of like you're forgiven up to a certain point, and now this new bill is the only thing that's going to be getting the late charge. So I just wanted to make that very clear. Hopefully people can pass that message on to others in case they're confused. The financial system, we're full on in implementation still. We're programming everything for year end and year beginning. So we're actively working on the 1099 process. and the W-2 process. So we only have a few more days to get that done. We have the deadline of January 31st. So we'll be working through that process over the next few days. And the audit is moving along as well. We're waiting on a couple more pieces of information to come through. One of them we just got yesterday, which is our post-employment liability report that we need to wait on for the actuarial. So we got that information and it has been sent off to the auditor for his review. And once that information is, reviewed and he certifies that it's accurate and he doesn't see any questions with it, then we'll get the full-blown report issued to us. And that will be included as part of the financial report. So everything's progressing well with that and we should be done with that process very soon. Other than that, I don't have any further information to pass on to you, but I'd be happy to answer questions if you may have any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Yes, we'll start with the questions from the board and then we'll take any commentary from the public, which I had intended to do before your report, but we'll take that after just in case. So first from the board, Director Gray.
We can't hear you.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield, President. You alluded to something that I think it might be good to sort of spell out to the public and to the board as to what happens, what people can still do, even though late fees are reinstated, what people can still do if they have, if they see a problem ahead paying a bill, a payment plan, forbearance, or whatever. What is our procedure on that? Because the late fees are when we're not told in advance that somebody's not going to pay, but there are ways of dealing with these situations in advance, aren't there?
That's correct. So if a customer calls us in advance of those late charges happening, so the bills for this billing cycle, they were billed out around the 10th of January and they'll be due on the 10th of February. So if a customer knows that they're going to have trouble making that entire payment, or they can only make part of that payment in advance of the late charges being applied, they can contact us to get set up on a payment plan. If they're on an active payment plan, we do waive the late charges happening because they're contacting us up front. Mm-hmm. You know, there's ways that we can do it if they contact us after the fact as well, but you know, we want customers to be proactive. We want them to contact us and get set up on a schedule, you know, if they know they're going to have trouble paying their bill.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Director Farmer.
Thank you, President Howell, and thank you, Finance Manager Duffield. With regard to my previous comment, I really appreciate your very thorough clarification as to the situation that you're dealing with. It's nice to know that some people are communicating with you and letting you know about the situation that they're under, but it's really unfortunate to know that some people aren't even communicating with you, which gives everybody else kind of a bad look. So thanks for that update. Now, I wish you all the best in getting that type of situation resolved. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm sorry, I have one additional comment, if you don't mind, that I forgot to make. So we had our bills mailed last week. And remember that our bills generate from a new service that comes out of Texas. We electronically send the file to them. And then from Texas, they get mailed to California. Generally, that's been taking approximately, 3 to 5 days, depending on the mail. We can't control the mail. We know that everything, you know, commerce-wise is impacted. So we received a call yesterday from a customer inquiring why they hadn't received their bill. Mm-hmm. And so, we let that customer know that, you know, when the bills were mailed, that, you know, maybe give it a couple more days, this and that. Well, apparently something went out on social media because we have gotten so many phone calls and so many inquiries through our online submission through the website. And we've received responses saying that we didn't mail the bills or they were mailed 10 to 15 days ago and all that. So I just want to quash all the rumors. The bills did go out. We did mail them. So it's not correct that they were not mailed. And if, you know, there's anybody that wants a copy of the Bill C, Director Gray received his. We've had people that have received him, you know, versus we have people in Cambria that received them on Saturday. So you know, I'm just not sure what's happening. So again, if you have any concerns, if you haven't received your bill, please feel free to give our office a call and we'll make sure that we email you a copy of that bill. But we did mail them.
Thank you, Ms. Duffield. Yes, Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Howell. It's interesting that my comment was going to lead into to something that I think what Ms. Duffield just covered helps express it. And that is that so much of the work that is done in what I'll call the administrative area of the organization, particularly in finance, doesn't get a lot of visibility to the district in the same way that people being out in the field or getting statuses about equipment may. And I wanted to stress to the community that Ms. Duffield bears a tremendous amount of responsibility and is beyond diligent in her work ethic and her commitment. Unfortunately, you know, watching something static doesn't get people excited. And it's easy to forget how much effort goes into making so many things operate in a systematic way. And I think that example of all of the tracking done to make a submittal for $100,000 just to be able to get $25,000 is probably an excellent demonstration of that in going through every effort to try to accomplish something. So I want to thank Ms. Duffield for her efforts and the contribution she makes to the community as well.
Thank you, Director Steidel, and I would like to echo your sentiments. Yes. So, Vice President Dean, followed by Director Farmer.
I'd like to echo Director Steidel's sentiments as well. Pamela Duffield is the most diligent finance manager I think we've had in many years, and I really do appreciate all of her work and her meticulous job. And I also like to say that my water bill came today. So if people didn't get their bill,
there you go.
Oh. It was still showing up. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Vice President Dean. Director Farmer.
Yeah, I want to also echo the sentiments about the awesome job that Ms. Duffield does. She's been under a lot of stress in the time that I've known her, and she's always two thumbs up and doing the job. But I just want to remake this remark. Let me see if I can do it right. The bill is late because it comes straight from deep in the heart of Texas. So,
all right. Okay. I think if there are no further comments or questions from the board, we do have one member of the public wishing to make a comment. So, Dr. Bettenhausen, would you please go ahead and Osana, would you please bring her in? Welcome back.
So that takes a while to appear. I want to thank the board, of course, for all your gratitude to Finance Manager Duffield. I certainly wouldn't contradict that. I contacted Finance Manager Duffield about the mailing because for decades, the bills have appeared sooner in the mail before Tyler got their hands on them or whatever the software is now. I want to make clear, I'm not blaming the staff. I think Finance Manager Duffield is the most excellent member of the administrative staff, period. I have applauded her work for years, but I want you board members to think about this from the perspective of the community. We did not know that there was a possible delay because of the mailing from Texas. I appreciate Director Farmer's voice and his attempt to sing the song.
Come out of Texas.
Yeah. But I want to say that we need to inform the community however we can. And I do it through social media if there is something that's come up. You can do it however you will, but too often you do not inform the community. Transparency to the side. But I want to say, I want to commend Finance Manager Duffield for another aspect of this that I had no idea was the case. Ratepayers may request that their bills are always sent electronically as well as by hard copy. I didn't know that. Did you? Maybe you knew that, but I didn't know that. Lots of people have thanked me for posting this on the social media and enabling them to find out that they have a whole nother option to receive their bill. I thank the finance department for making this option available. You handled my question marvelously. I don't know how you handled the question from others. I just asked the basic question. But Board of Directors, I'm speaking now directly to you through the president, Mr. Howell. I ask that you more frequently evaluate the work of yourselves and the staff by speculating as to how it might look from the perspectives of the ratepayers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. Jim Weigold, can we hold your comment on this one until after we finish the reports? I'd rather not get into a dialogue at this point. All right with you? Okay. Moving on then to the utilities report, I'll call for public comment first. Is there any public comment on the utilities report? Give it just a minute. And Osana, while I'm giving it a minute, do you have any written comment? No written comment and no comments from the public. So we're ready now for the utilities report. So Mr. D'Enzo, the floor is yours now. Or is it Melissa? Who's giving the report?
I'm going to be giving the report today.
Oh, forgive me. Okay. Ms. Bland, would you please give the report?
Yes. Thank you. Thanks for having me. So Ray has entrusted the presentation of the Utilities Manager's Report today. So I'm going to go through and highlight some of the content of the report and then make myself available at the end for questions. Ray is online and he can chime in if I flub anything, but he's getting a much needed reprieve from the mic today.
Good.
So I'm going to share my screen because I do have some slides for you. Okay. So, as usual, our staff has been busy brainstorming and implementing some solutions to some longstanding issues at our facilities. Wet weather preparation and response has been a frequent topic of conversation around here with the plentiful fall rainfall. This is always a blessing for our water supply, but heavy rains can cause a ruckus at our wastewater treatment plant. So here I'm showing a rudimentary process flow that should help illustrate why the preventative measures that John and his crew put in place are important. So this represents the flow of wastewater through the treatment system, starting with the anoxic and aerobic zones in our aeration basins, and then flowing into the secondary clarifier. When storm flows combine with collection system flows, the influx of water pushes biosolids out of the system as waste. And our treatment system depends on those biosolids being available as return activated sludge back to the aeration basins. And this is because biosolids introduce concentrated bacteria into the wastewater. And bacteria actually consumes the organic matter in the wastewater and breaks it down into harmless byproducts. So when this process is thrown off balance, our wastewater staff has to spend more time ensuring that the treated effluent meets our permit requirements. And it can also result in some unpleasant side effects like increased odors. So it might not seem like much, but
some of these process changes that our wastewater staff has implemented are making some big differences. So out in the collection system, our wastewater crew has continued their diligent efforts to clean as much of the system as possible. Here are some photos of the fun stuff our crew has removed from the system over the past year or so. While root intrusion is just a fact of life, this is a good time to remind the public that toilets are not trash cans. So only human waste should be flushed along with toilet paper. And then fats, oils, and grease should be avoided in the sink. So floss, hair wipes, feminine products, rinsing some viscous oil out of a pan that might seem harmless, but over time, these things build up and they find their way into our equipment and can cause some big problems. On the water side of things, our water department took action in December to reduce reliance on the PG&E power for our communication system. The solar and battery backup installation prevents surges and interruptions in our power supply, which can wreak havoc on sensitive equipment. Specifically, this can interrupt remote monitoring and control systems. When these interruptions happen, we have staff having to go operate facilities in hand and preventing these types of interruptions just makes for a more efficient operation. And then the biggest news in December was most definitely the main break on the transmission line from our San Simeon Creek well field. This occurred on December 23rd at the State Parks property. Our staff acted quickly to isolate the break, switching the system's water production over to our Santa Rosa 4 well. Coincidentally, on nearly the same day as this break occurred, work officially was completed at the repair at the Santa Rosa Creek pedestrian bridge. So thankfully, that contractor who completed that job was able to quickly mobilize for the repairs at the San Simeon site. As of yesterday, the San Simeon well field is back online and the emergency repair work has completed. So from left to right here, what you're seeing is what our staff saw on December 23rd. I had this picture actually texted to me and my heart sank. The picture to the right of that is the fusion welding machine. So that is how the HDPE pipeline, which is pictured next to that, those very long black sections of pipe, were connected. This prevents root intrusion and things like that since the pipeline was laid over ground. And then that final picture on the far right is the one of the points of connection that had to be trenched on State Parks property. The majority of the line is above ground, but there were a few points that required excavation. This brings us to the status of our water supply. So our current water year is the neon yellow double line on this chart. As you can see, we've reached fully recharged status at our San Simeon well field as of January 1st. So full recharge is achieved when well levels reach above 19 feet or more. Since 1988, we've obtained full recharge by March 15th of each water year. So we're actually a bit ahead of schedule this year, which is great. If you look at the trend lines on the far right of the graph, you'll notice that full recharge results in relatively stable well levels. There is usually that kind of pop of a major storm event that takes us, you know, to our sort of peak recharge level and then a gradual leveling off. And that will continue pretty stable until about May, when the dry season typically begins and our aquifer storage begins to deplete. So all of that being said, I'll be presenting a little later regarding staff's recommendation to move on to a stage one baseline condition in accordance with our water shortage contingency plan. Other activities in the utilities department included work on our water use efficiency plan. We're looking at doing a plan addendum. The 2013 water use efficiency plan projected a decrease in per capita consumption from about 59 gallons per capita per day to 48 gallons per capita per day based on conservation program B. And in that plan, it includes conservation measures such as doing water use efficiency surveys, high efficiency washing machine replacements or rebates, changes in our retrofit upon resale program. There's a pretty extensive chart of different activities that should have led to this reduction in demand. We've completed or implemented, I would say, about 90% of those. And the remaining are more focused on irrigation and then washing machine rebates for our residential customers. So today, our residential demand is about 45 gallons per capita per day, and that's indoor and outdoor combined. So this is definitely in line with state standards. And I recently learned that our the state has determined that our outdoor standard is, I don't think that it is going to require any additional conservation on our end. So we are already meeting those indoor and outdoor use standards. However, we still do need to understand our baseline conservation potential. So if you look at the lowest per capita conservation that we hit during the last drought in 2014 and 2015, we got into the 30 gallons per capita per day range. And it's important to note that our community can reach that level, but we shouldn't be bringing our standard consumption to that point, because that eliminates that buffer and puts us at risk in situations where we need to conserve more. So the water use efficiency plan update is going to be looking at that and is going to be analyzing the potential for conservation that's above that threshold and how should your board prioritize those savings.
Cool.
Lastly, Megan and myself have been pretty hard at work at completing a new business process automation, which streamlines the intake and processing of our WillServe and fire plan review applications for things such as like remodels, deck repairs, other building projects like that. So this is actually a snippet of the actual process flow. This is how we build it in our software. Each of these blocks represents an action or a decision point in the process. And the whole process is kicked off by an electronic form that's on our website. The form uses field data to help route the process based off of this structure. So it also takes those data fields and makes that data accessible and usable to our staff in a way that it has never been before. It automates the delivery of things like invoices, WillServe letters, fire plan reviews. And as you can see from the permit counter stats in our utilities report and from the fire chief's comments earlier, we handle quite a few of these applications on a monthly basis. So this automation is going to save our staff time from manually entering this information, duplicating files, distributing them across departments. It's been one of the more time-consuming activities on my docket personally, but once these processes are launched, and we've launched about 8 of these, the time saved just pays us back in dividends. So the data being available to us is probably one of the most exciting parts about this process. Since we launched it at the beginning of the year, I can actually say that at the end of this calendar year, I will be able to tell your board the number of new sinks, showers, toilets, et cetera, that have been installed in our system. And gathering that data will only take a matter of minutes.
Cool. Excellent.
So that's my report.
So do we have some questions from the board? Any questions? Okay. I'm not seeing any questions here. Thank you, Ms. Bland. I think that was an intriguing report, actually. So seeing no further on that one, I think we're ready to move forward. So thanks again to our staff, to the Utilities Department and the Finance Department, and all our hard workers in the field. So moving on to the next step, we have the consent agenda. Does anyone have any item they wish to pull? Yes, Director Steidel.
Unmute. Thank you, President Howe. Yes, I would like to pull item 7F from consent, please.
All right, move that. Okay, any other items to pull? Okay, we'll deal with the consent agenda first, and then we'll deal with 7F after we've dealt with the rest of the consent agenda. I think I need to allow public comment at this time, though. Director Steidel, do you have something? Your hand is up still. Is that?
Oh.
Okay. So are we good to continue? Okay, great. So let's start with the public again. So I see two hands up at the moment. That'll be Christine Heinrichs, followed by Elizabeth Battenhausen. So Asana, please bring Christine in. Welcome, Ms. Heinrichs.
There, okay, thank you. I asked you to pull items 7A and 7E from the consent agenda for the purpose of discussing the payment of more than $229,000, more than $250,000 to Rutan and Tucker. This brings payments to Rutan and Tucker to more than $500,000 in recent months. Cambrians deserve more than a few paragraphs noted on the district's website in explanation of this large expense. Item 7E extends the People's Self-Help Housing Intent to Serve letter for a second year into an ever more distant future. The district typically extends these letters of intent. Please discuss allowing this letter to expire. The lot is difficult for construction. The two-lane access road is inadequate for emergency evacuation, and despite district claims of somehow having reserved water for 34 more users, the Coastal Commission has repeatedly found that Cambria lacks adequate water to serve even current residents. No wonder People's Self-Help Housing can't get funding for this project. 2 years after this permit, People's Self-Help Housing has not provided any housing to Cambria's low-income residents. Purchasing motels and converting them into condos to provide low-income housing could be a better, faster route to addressing Cambria's housing inequities. It's time to let this letter expire. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Yes, Ms. Bettenhausen.
It takes approximately all that time for the connection here. So I appreciate your waiting to hear my comments. I want to ask if it's possible somehow. I fully understand that the district council hires the special law firms when we are sued in a lawsuit like this. So I'm not questioning that, but I think it would help members of the public, certain of them, certainly me, if there was some specificity about the kind of work in hours and cost that this entails, some specificity about an invoice or something. Otherwise, we are simply handing out And I'm not questioning the need for it, but I'm questioning the fiscal clarity of what this is for us ratepayers. We're handing out hundreds of thousands of dollars again and again. So if I urge you to request that the district council prepare some basic information about this for the public so that we can understand exactly what it is we're spending the money on. And I really am ambivalent about self-help housing. Of course, affordable housing is needed, as certainly the report from Mr. Mendoza pointed out, in terms of the homelessness in town right now. But I I'm appreciative of all the material on this agenda item in consent, documenting the steps that they have taken. But I urge you to reflect on your work over the past 2 years, several times coming to look at intent to serve letters, which just had been renewed and renewed and renewed, and the project never developed. So I have only one question. Who on your staff will monitor regularly the progress being made by self-help housing in regard to submitting the final data for their application? I hope that we get regular updates and don't now find ourselves in February of 2023, all of a sudden extending again an intent to serve letter. It would help to be informed along the way. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dr. Bettenhausen. At this point, I see one thing, but I don't wish to get into a dialogue at this point, but I do want to acknowledge your both of the questions here. The issue of the large attorney's fees, maybe we'll have a discussion about that at some point, and maybe we can be a little more, give you a little more information about that. And the issue of monitoring people's self-help project progress is probably a good idea, but we'll look into that. So thank you for those comments. Director Gray, as long as this is not in response to the public,
dialogue
here.
I move that the board approve the consent agenda without item 7F.
Thank you. Is there a second? It's been moved to approve the items A through E on the consent agenda. We need a second on that. Does anyone care to? Vice President Dean. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt items A, B, C, D, and E of the consent agenda. And because it's in consent, we really don't have much in the way of debate here. So I think it's time to vote. Osana, would you please call the roll?
Sure. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Vice President Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. Director Farmer?
I just want to comment that President Howe, in approving the motion, he did say A, B, C, D, and E. I believe he included E, which obviously has been pulled. So other than that, I vote aye. Thank you.
Let me, I need to offer a correction there, Director Farmer. Item E was asked to be pulled by the public, but no director has asked to pull it. So,
no, I believe item E, I'm thinking of F.
You got it. That's good. Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page. So
I need to redo my alphabet. Thank you.
Oh, that's okay. So I'm sorry, Osana, that was Director Farmer, aye, correct? Sorry for
interrupting. Yes, so Director Farmer, aye, thank you. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel, and President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Five ayes to approve consent agenda items 7A through 7E. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So now, pursuant to Director Gray's request, we'll deal separately with item 7F.
Actually Director Steidel's request.
Sorry about that. So yes, Director Steidel's request we wish to independently consider item F here. So I think Since this has been pulled, it becomes a separate agenda item and I need to call for public comment. So is there any public comment on item 7F, which is consideration of appointing Director Farmer as chairperson of the policy committee? Okay, seeing none, and I presume, am I correct that we have no written comment on this one, Ozana?
No written comment, thank you.
Okay, so General Weigel, would you go ahead and present this, and then we'll open for discussion.
Yes, President Hell, agenda item 7F is consideration of appointment of Director Farmer as chairperson of the policy committee. Staff recommends that the board of directors consider appointing Director Harry Farmer as chairperson of the policy committee. There are two provisions in the standing committee bylaws that address choosing a committee chairperson. That's section 2.3A and section 3.1 outlined in the body of the staff report. Back over to you, President Allen.
Thank you. So now the item is open for discussion. Does anyone wish to speak to this? I think then, yes.
I assumed as I had asked it to be pulled that
I assumed, you
know. there'd be an expectation that I'd probably have something to ask. Before I go much further, there's something that I just wanted to clarify for myself. And I think, President Howell, you may be the individual that would need to provide this clarification, possibly with the latest and greatest information in this regard. I need to understand what board-directed policy items are currently being reviewed or worked on by the policy committee.
Let me see if I can dig into my memory here. I really can't answer that question for you. There is something that has come that is actually ready for board action. I just haven't gotten the official communication from the committee, but they did pass the second part of the issue about receiving and answering correspondence to the board. So that is up for, will come up for discussion. Presently, there is one thing. The board did move that the policy committee should continue to work through the CSDA manual, looking for aspects where I don't remember the exact wording, but it was definitely a motion to continue the process that had originally started a couple of years ago as they work through the CSDA manual, looking at policies that are germane to the district, to see whether they would be useful to us or whether our own policies would need to be modified in some way.
Do you remember the time frame that continuation was requested? Because I was under the assumption that the board ad hoc made that review.
That's a review, yeah.
And that it was no longer necessary for the policy committee to be involved in that.
My understanding, and I guess we don't want to get too back and forth on this one, but my understanding is that Director Gray and I were working through that, we used the CSDA system, and it could be regarded as preliminary work, but we didn't actually do the, at least I didn't, start looking at the actual individual policies, the wording in the CSDA manual, and comparing it to whatever current policies are presently with the district, which is yet another level of that. So it's a little bit of an amorphous, I have to admit. And perhaps needs to be more clearly, if that's a concern of the board, needs to be more clearly laid out. I have to admit that it's...
I'd have to look at the matrix myself of the work that the board ad hoc committee did, but I think that whole process highlighted what areas potentially there would be a need. And I don't know, perhaps Director Gray would have a better remembrance of any of those specifics, if there was anything there that was identified that the board would have provided direction to the policy committee to act on. And yeah. I don't know that there was anything in that, but I mean, that's again, that's historical information. So maybe that's worth taking a look at. But my reason in asking that is that it seems that in watching any policy committee meetings, those aren't the kinds of conversations that go on. It tends to be related to policy that members of the policy committee feel need to be brought forward, and that those are the actions and the time that they're taking to work on things. So I have a concern in that regard, but I guess what I would like to do is just reiterate the something from the bylaws, the 1.7.3, the policy committee, and the item B under that. It leaves open the idea of potential areas of policy needs not currently addressed in the policy handbook. Develop assessments regarding the impact due to lack of the policy and the immediacy of need, and provide that to the board through the committee chair for definition of content and consideration of timing needs and approval to proceed in policy development. And the reason I was highlighting that is because the work that's done by the staff in supporting our standing committees is pretty significant, and those demands are a demand on staff time and energies, and we have a responsibility as a board to actually ensure that there is a purpose being served in the use of our district resources. And so I'm highlighting this to keep in mind that when we're pursuing things, they need to be things that have some tangible need or impact for the district and for the board, rather than personal interests. And I do think that the appointment of a board member to the policy committee really isn't an issue or even the reason that I requested that the item be pulled from consent. But I do feel that the board as a whole probably needs to discuss the intent and expectations for the policy committee in total. And I'll be requesting an agenda item to be placed on the calendar by motion at the appropriate point later in our meeting, because I do think a review needs to take place and the conversation and discussion need to take place.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
well, so that was my intent in asking that this be pulled from consent, not because of the appointment of a chairperson or the fact that that chairperson is Director Farmer. It's just that I have some concerns in the way the committee is conducted going forward. So that was the reasoning.
Thank you, Director Seidel. We're straying a little bit out of order on that one, but yes, I think what we have here is a future agenda item. So we'll be looking forward to that. Your very astute observations, and certainly it's worth discussion. Director Gray, unless you're specifically wanting to talk about the placement of Director Farmer as a chair, not the charge of the committee,
I would like to make a motion. I would very briefly say that I share Director Steidel's concerns about the I guess in some sense we should be giving the new chairman pretty clear instructions as to the scope of the job, scope of the committee's work. And that if that being understood, and I do nominate move that we name Director Farmer to be chair of the policy committee.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Director Gray. Vice President Dean?
I second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded to appoint a Director Farmer to the open position as chairman of the policy committee. Do we have further discussion on this issue? Let's see. Director Gray, is your hand still up, or are you?
Sorry.
Director Farmer, I see your hand.
I just want to say that listening to the comments from Director Stidell and briefly from Director Gray, that and I will I'll make an effort to communicate with them and get a greater understanding as to what it is that their concerns are, and do my best to be as efficient as possible in being the chair of the policy committee. So that's what I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. So do we have any further discussion? Okay, seeing none, I'll make one a very brief comment. One reason that you're seeing this on the agenda at this point is I began to get signals, kind of, I don't know how to describe it, vibrations, that the policy committee was kind of uncomfortable proceeding without a chairman from the board on the one hand, and I also got a sense of discomfort from my fellow directors of having the committee without a chair from directors. So this was the reason why, and Director Farmer has graciously agreed to step up to the plate here and take over this job. So I just wanted to kind of enter, just to explain to folks why it was on the agenda. So in that case, if there is no further debate, then we're ready for the motion, or the vote rather. So Osana, would you please call the roll on this one?
Yes, Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. Director Stidell?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Stidell. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. Five ayes.
Bye-bye. This motion passes unanimously. Director Farmer, I see your hand.
I just want to make one further comment that I look forward to working with the members of the policy committee. They're a very interesting and at times eccentric group. And they're very creative, very imaginative, and they speak their mind. And I look forward to interacting with them and making the policy committee be as, like I said, as efficient and creative as possible in providing whatever the board needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. We are now ready for we are ready for business now. And as I mentioned, we'll change the order of this. So the first item will be item C, discussion and consideration of a strategic plan status report and update. And we'll start with public comment. Do we have any comments from the public on item 8C? This has to do with the status report and update of the strategic plan. Okay, seeing none. Ooh, I don't know where the echo is coming from. Osana, would you tell me if we have any written comment on this? No written comment on this issue? All right. So I think we are now, who's presenting this here? GM Weigold, or I'll start with you and then you can hand it off there.
Yes, President Howell, I was just wondering if we might be able to have a couple minute break.
Oh, sure. I see a bunch of heads, so you can always do that, raise a point of personal privilege. Yeah, so is 5 minutes sufficient, you think? Everybody, five? So I have three, well, let's make it 7 minutes. So I have 3:58, so let's come back at 4:05. Oh, yes, Director Farmer?
I just thought it was kind of funny there. General Manager Weigel asked for, you know, a brief break. And you said, well, I see a bunch of heads out there. So I just thought that was kind of cute. So.
Okay. All right. So we're in recess now for until 4:05. think we ever just let us then commence. You know, all the parties are back. So this will be item, this is 8, what did I just say, 8C. Yeah, this is the strategic plan update. So GM Weigold, please proceed.
Thank you, President Howell. Agenda item 8C is discussion and consideration of strategic plan status report and update. Staff recommends that the Board of Directors discuss and consider the monthly updates to the strategic plan. I've updated the changes as of the last meeting. And since this is the last chance, we'll update this before the strategic plan workshop. Now, this will be the version that changes to this will be the version that the public will see and the workshop team will use going forward on Tuesday. So just wanted to add that note in for everyone. And back to you, President Howell.
That's a good point. So we need to pay particular attention, make sure we get this one right. So I think what I should probably do is call out each goal as it, and then if anyone has anything to add to what is presently written, I think if you're all kind of, so if you would prefer to proceed in a different way, raise your hand at this point. Otherwise, I'll go ahead and do it that way. All right, not seeing anybody. So what we'll do, we'll go through the whole thing and then have a motion to adopt the strategic plan as modified, if it is modified. So let me see. So starting with the first goal, which is to increase and improve communication with the public, we have I guess these are objectives, or what do we call these things, Mr. Weigold? There's the goal, and then these sub things, are they objectives? Is that what we call
them? They're underlying objectives.
Ah, good. Okay. So objective number one, which is to present to the board for consideration a policy regarding CCSD communication with public through social media. Do we have any changes to what we have written already here? Okay, seeing none. Moving on then to objective number two, which was to develop a public outreach program. I don't need to read the whole objective. So do we have any changes to, I see there's been the red here, I believe, is the what GM Weigold has already, or these are updates that have previously happened. So is there any further updates to objective number two of this goal? Okay, seeing none. Let us move now to the second goal, which is achieve and sustain adequate financial resources to fulfill the mission. So objective one, which has to do with funding sources. Any changes to objective one? Seeing none, we will move to objective two.
President Howell, I have one comment. Since the board will be receiving this report, likely we can note that this will be complete after the board reviews the item later in the agenda.
Oh, okay. So someone needs to keep track of that. So Jim Weigold, are you okay? So other than that, we have anything else on objective one? Okay, now we're on to objective two, which is complete the Tyler implementation. Any additional or any modification to what's written here? Okay, I see none. All right, moving right along. What about the completion date? Ms. Duffield, is that June 20th reasonable? Okay, great. And now three, which is identifying structural changes to address underfunded and under-resourced, et cetera. Any changes to that one? All right, seeing none. Okay, let's move on then to now we're the next goal, which is to achieve a balanced policy for growth and resources. Objective one, we have no change.
That's complete.
That's complete, so there shouldn't be any change to it. Well, you never know. Sometimes things have a way of reincarnating. But okay, now, so how about objective two? All right, seeing none there. And don't forget, things that could be changed might be completion dates or other little things as well. So we don't let something get pass by us here if we need to make a change. All right, I think we're ready then for the next goal, which is to develop and implement a long-term infrastructure and resources plan. So objective one, which is to prioritize the short-term infrastructure requirements. Yes, Director Steidel.
It's indicated it's on target, but the date is January 15, 2022.
That would be next year, but Jim Watkins.
No, that's this year.
Wait, we're already, oops, sorry. Whoops. So,
is there a new date or is that actually done?
A good question. Vice President Dean.
Okay, so the part relating to, we formed two ad hoc committees for this, enterprise and admin. The admin portion of it is done and waiting for us to approve it and send it to the board. The enterprise one is waiting for just a little bit more information from the utilities department. We're hoping to complete this by our February R&I meeting and have it ready to give to the board.
So that would be, I forget when your meeting is. I think it's
February 7th.
February 7th. So would we put that as the when date on that one?
Yeah.
Okay, change to February 7th, 2022. Okay, any other changes? Director Steidel, your hand is up.
So a question, are these dates related to the objectives themselves, or it probably doesn't have to do with when it's going to be coming to the board, because that's much of a target game potentially. So I don't know whether it's worth adding any kind of wording in these types of situations with the expectation to the board to follow or something along those lines, but that, just setting that aside, I mean, that isn't necessary for this time through, but.
Oh, okay. I see. Vice President Dean, I think you have something to say there.
Well, if you want it to be when it's finalized and presented to the board, we could say the second board meeting in February. I think that's when we normally review these things.
Why don't we do that?
It'll be February 17th.
I'm sorry?
February 17th then?
February 17th. Yeah, I think that might be a better, and because as I read the what, it does say present to the board for review and possible consideration. So I guess this would be the date to present to the board.
It makes sense.
Yeah, okay. Any other modifications to this one? All right, moving on to the next one. This is the prioritize the remaining non-funded utility department SST requirements. How are we doing there? Is there a modification on this one? Yes, Vice President Dean.
We're waiting to hear on the SST financing for that. So I don't know what you want to put as a date.
What are we trying to do there? Well, we don't know. Director Gray.
TBD.
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Maryland likes to have a TBD is kind of, that could be anything. I think we need to have some date to which we shoot, even if we don't make it. Director Steidel, and then Director Dean.
You could put potentially TBD, but put the dependency. You depended upon, and then make the statement of what that action is.
Oh, okay. Does that work, folks? Yes, Director, Vice President Dean.
If you look at objective four, we said it was contingent upon completion of financing packet and analysis. We could use that same terminology for this particular objective, because I don't know if staff has any idea when we're going to know if we qualify for financing or not.
I see. Okay, so then in that case, say TBD on the when
future,
and put the contingent statement probably in that same date space,
or it could go on the, like it does on that last, so just it's in the comment area, it could be either way. That's a, what do you think is best, in the date space or in the comment area? I think I'm going to go with what Cindy asks, suggests, Director Seidel suggests, unless there's a, anything to the contrary. Okay, let's put the contingency. So it's going to be, instead of March 15th, it's going to say TBD. And then right below that, we're going to duplicate the wording on objective four, contingent on completion of financing package and analysis. Yeah, I'm laying this all out. So Jim Weigel, he's going to have to make all these changes. So we want to be sure that he's clear as to what the changes are. So any further? Okay, on that one, that goal, this is number two. Okay, no other things on that. Okay, goal number three, which is to review the asset management of all CSD departments, et cetera. Any changes, modifications here? Again, Director Dean, go ahead, please.
Okay, so we just activated the ad hoc committee and R&I to start working on the asset management. And they're supposed to be meeting with staff to determine the best way to go about this. So I would extend this out at least 2 or 3 months just to give them time to get things going.
Would you suggest then April?
Why don't we put May, because I know they need to talk to our finance manager too, and I know she's very busy.
Okay, and what we can
wanna,
do.
We want to give some space here.
That makes sense. Let's do, I don't recall right now, I could look it up, but Jim Weigel, can we just put the May meeting date in there, I think, for the date? Maybe first, what would you say, Director, Vice President Dean, first meeting in May?
We usually do these strategic plan updates, I think, the second meeting of the month, don't we? So why don't we put that date?
Yep, May 19th.
May 19th. Okay, cool. Anybody else want to make any other changes to this one? Okay. Okay. Moving then to future. This is goal number four, which is a future objective number four. Do we need to? Pretty general here, but do we need any further change to this one? Okay. Seeing no. Yes.
No suggestion I would make is maybe to, for consistency in wording. Or in terminology, maybe you do the same terminology as you did for objective two in the future objective spot. Instead of future objective, say whatever you said there, TBD, because it's the same. It's the same situation.
So say TBD instead of future objective and move the comment into the area right below the TBD.
Right.
Okay. So there won't be anything in the comment section. It'll all be over there. Okay. Any further changes before we move to the next one? Seeing none. I'm sorry. Sorry, Director Steidel.
I'm sorry. I apologize, President Howell. And unfortunately, it's just going back to the item three. When I'm reading the what in there, I don't know that there's an output associated with it.
Coordinate and review. I see what you're saying, yes.
So is that review then provided to someone or... when they get to that point, what are they going to do with it?
I think maybe that's an appropriate question for Director, for Vice President Dean. How do you envision this, Vice President Dean?
I don't know.
Okay.
President Howell, that's a perfect issue to bring up on Tuesday when we revisit this.
Okay, so maybe there should be a comment there just so we know, maybe in the what needs further clarification or something.
Address output.
Yeah, that's good, Director Steidel. Yeah, address output would be it. Yeah.
It's empty. We started talking about doing an asset management plan 3 years ago in R&I, and I think we've kind of lost track of the what to do with it when we're done.
Right. And I recall some R&I discussions, which were kind of interesting as to what kind of, what are we really talking about? So, yeah. Okay. Director Seidel, your hand is still up.
Sorry.
Okay. Ms. Duffield, did you have something to say about this? It looked like you had a thought in your, no. Okay. I think we're ready to move on then to the next one. Good. So we're now ready for the next goal, which is to achieve community preparedness for wildfires and other emergencies, something that's dear to all of our hearts, I think. So let me see. Let's just start with one, which is to review and update the adopted hazard mitigation plan. Do we have any changes to this item? Oh, yes, Director Seidel.
On target, but it needs an associated date.
A new date.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Yes, we're we're already in the past there. Yes, what? Let's see, whose responsibility is this? This is the chief's responsibility. Director Gray, I think you're heavily involved.
It looks like he's, like we say, draft complete under comments. So it sounds like we might have met that target. If the draft is what we're, if the draft was the objective,
meeting, review, and update.
It might actually be done.
I think that's just chief's draft, but it's got to be shared with some others yet.
Extending the due date till March 15th.
I think that's appropriate.
Okay. And this is the second meeting in March, rather than just middle of the month, just so it gives us something to.
The meeting date is actually.
Let's see when that is.
Be March 10th.
March 10th. First meeting in March.
Second meeting is the 17th.
Yeah, 17th of March. Yeah. Okay, March 17th.
Patrick's Day.
Yeah, St. Patrick's Day. Okay. I think then any other changes on this one? Okay, seeing none. The next one, which is objective two, look at options to update the forest management plan. Any changes here? I think we're still waiting to hear back. Yeah.
It's on hold still, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So we're good on that. Everybody good?
Mm-hmm.
Director said.
You may want to align that date also for the 17th, March 17th.
Doesn't hurt. Let's see, who is responsible here? Working with executive director. It's really Carlos. Let's just call it March 15th and see what, or 17th and see
oh,
what.
I'm sorry. I thought you were on item three.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, we're still on two.
Oh, I apologize then. I was making reference to the March 15th date already recorded there on item three, just to align to the 17th.
So I think so. On number two, are we good with number two?
Mm-hmm.
We're good.
I am, yeah.
No, number three, Director Steidel. So what was the?
Yeah, sorry. Well, we just adjusted to the second meeting date rather than the middle of the month. So make it March 17th instead of the 15th.
Yeah. Okay, good point.
So it's the same as the first objective.
I like that. It makes agenda prep easier too. So, any commentary here on this one?
Let me just, if I can double check with Director Gray. I think we're expecting Dr. Neroso's reports in February. Do we need to allow just a little bit more time for the evacuation plan report? Perhaps make it one more month away?
We have to find, it is true, we have to find out from him when his delivery date is. He'd been saying early February, he'd been talking early February. We haven't heard back. I haven't contacted him lately. Yes, I think that's a good idea to give us time in case it's a little bit later than we expect.
Okay, so shall we go to the second meeting in April then?
April. Yeah. Second meeting of April will be fine, yeah.
Okay. One thing we have. Okay, anything else on that one? Good. I do want to mention, though, we remember that work expands to fill the time available. So be careful about making these deadlines too far out.
It's just that in this case, we're dependent on his report.
No, it makes sense. Yeah. For my personal thing, as long as it gets before we're well into the dry season, that would be nice. Okay. Let's see. We're all done then with objective three, ready for four, which is the last one on our plan here. This is developing a defensible space ordinance. Any changes to this one? Looks like there's still ample time to do this. I have a question for council, though. Is this, can we do this? Is this something that we can do?
Yes.
Is that a yes? Okay. Yes. Just wanted to be sure we weren't overstepping our charge. Well, excellent. Then I will entertain a motion to adopt the strategic, what do we call this? Adopt the strategic plan as revised. Yes, Director Seidel?
I move that we adopt the strategic plan as revised this date. Do you want me to try to reference them or just have the markup that GMY Gold was doing anyway to...
Why don't we do that?
Okay. All right. The motion would be to approve the strategic plan status report update with annotations as recorded by GM Weigold.
Oh, nicely stated. I think Director Gray, you had your hand up first.
I second that.
That was a second. And Director Dean, is that also a second?
Yeah, but that's okay.
Well, that can be 2 seconds. It's in order. Okay. So I think, is there any debate on this? Seeing no one wishing to debate further, I think we're ready for the question. So Oksana, please call the roll.
Sure. Director Seidel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Seidel. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 5 ayes unanimously. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Oksana. So we're ready now for item 8D. So, and this will be discussion and consideration of adopting a resolution to determine to continue work under the emergency contracts. I guess we could also, Council, if we simply don't adopt this, does that, or do we have to actually declare that the emergency no longer exists, don't we?
The statute requires you to formally declare the termination of the emergency.
Is there wording, or we have to change what we're doing here? Let's see.
No, you pick this up. We included both. You have 07-2022 is actually terminating the...
Got it. Thank you. I should have read my packet a little more thoroughly. Thank you. So the issue here is whether or not to continue with this emergency situation, and it's not actually something we have a choice on, unless the emergency still exists. So I guess the... you probably should do the formal presentation here. So General Manager Weigel, would you go ahead and before you do, let me call for public comment. So folks out there in the public, there are still 10 of you. Do you wish to make any comment regarding item 8D, which is whether or not we're going to continue the emergency related to the repair of the San Simeon water main? All right, seeing none. And Oksana, do we have any written comment? No written comment. So let us proceed then. So Jim Weigel, would you please present the item?
Yes, President Howell. Agenda item 8D is discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 06-07-2022 pursuant to public contract code section 22050, determining whether to continue work under emergency contracts for the emergency San Simeon transmission water main repair project. Staff recommends that the board consider adoption of one of the two resolutions, finding that there is or is not a need to continue the emergency action for the San Simeon transmission water main repair project in accordance with the public contract code section 22050. As we've discussed already, the repair is complete as of the 19th, as of yesterday, and is reconnected. But before we go into that, I think Melissa Bland is going to provide, or District Engineer D'Enzo will talk a little bit more about this prior to moving forward with a discussion and vote. So I defer to them for a presentation.
Oh, thank you, Jim Weigel. So yes, Mr. D'Enzo, please proceed.
Right, thank you, President Howell. So to state our current state of things, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen to share this one slide. So basically, the recommendation still holds that we would like to end the emergency. And right here in the presentation, the slide that you're seeing in yellow is the portions that are not included in your board packet. So, because I, but during the time of the writing of the board packet, these other things have happened. So on the 14th, which was Friday, sorry, excuse me a second. My battery was running low. So, okay. So on Friday, the 14th, we did the second phase of interconnection because on Thursday, on the 13th, we started the first phase of connection, which was over near the campground by the bridge, by the pedestrian bridge there. The second phase of interconnection happened at the exotic gardens area over kind of the cul-de-sac near what we know now as the Dow area. But so that happened on the 14th, which was a Friday. They completed that work that day as well. And on the 17th, which was Monday, the contractor restored all the grounds from trenching activities. So they were able to backfill all the trenches, backfill the areas that that needed to be back. And they restored the pavement asphalt from these from the trenching activities. The same day that happened, as that was happening too, the flushing, our staff started the flushing process. And this is an important part, especially when we're talking about a long stretch of main like we had to replace. And the fact that there was a loss of service in some parts that needed, in some parts of the campground, that we needed to be sure that all the air and all the gunk and all of that gets taken out of the system before we put it into this, before we actually like fire it up and then open and start the San Simeon well field again. So that flushing started on Monday this week on the 17th. And we were able to complete the flushing on Tuesday and verify all the pressures in the campground because there were some pressures that they didn't have in all parts of the campground, but we were able to verify that on Tuesday. So after that, there was also final restoration and cleanup, such as the fences that were taken apart due to the construction. All of that got restored and final cleanup got also started on that day on Tuesday. And then we also were able to start up the San Simeon well pumps and we were able to run it all day yesterday. And then there was a little minor glitch. There was a power issue that came up. So we had to stop operation of the well pump because we needed to fix the power issue. And it turned out there was a fuse that went out on one of the PG&E power poles. So our electrician was able to repair that and we were able to restart the well pumps as of today, 1/20/22. As of 1 p.m. today. So San Simeon well started up and then there was a power glitch gets fixed and now we're back to operating completely again from the San Simeon well pumps. So I recommend to our board, to your board, that that we end the emergency because the contractor has completed the work and the San Simeon well field is back online. And I'm available for any questions too.
Excellent.
Excuse me, President. Before I say that, I wanted to give special kudos to our team. I know that your board was able to give us kudos, but I wanted to publicly state that this was a team effort all around. But a special kudos to our water staff, because there was a lot of problem solving that we needed to do. Problem solving on the fly with imperfect information. And we were able to, and it was cool. I was able to see firsthand, you know, the caliber of staff that we have on our team here. So I wanted to give special kudos to Jim Green, especially, and to his crew. They did everything right. They did everything right with the information that they had. And I also wanted to give kudos to our wastewater staff who helped us with a lot of the flushing issues that we needed to resolve with the use of the Vactor truck. So there was a team effort there. And I also wanted to give special thanks to State Parks. We were able to work with them, and they were very patient with the different water service issues that came up. We did establish water service with a temporary tank and pump, but again, there was a lot of issues that came up with that, which based on imperfect information. But I want to thank State Parks for their work and partnering with us and helping us work through these issues. And I also want to thank Hartzell Construction. As Melissa stated before, they were able to respond very quickly to us and help us develop a solution to the problem, which I believe is the best solution for this temporary fix. They did quality work and they worked as quickly as they could. And I was really happy with their work. So again, special kudos to them. And I want to give special kudos to your board. I'm thankful for the leadership that we were able to function under, trusting staff enough to be able to fix this problem, and understanding that we in the trenches didn't have the benefit of hindsight. So I'm really glad that we were able to your board was able to respond very quickly to with this emergency. So again, special kudos all around. And again, very thankful to everyone. And again, I do want to say that, I recommend that we end the emergency.
Excellent.
Now I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. D'Enzo. And I'm sure all of us here would second all of those kudos that you've sent out. And of course, we do appreciate your appreciation of us as well. But so thank you so much for your for all everybody in this. It just shows what an excellent team that we have. And I think the community can feel comfortable that their needs are going to be addressed. I don't believe that I called for public comment on this item yet. Correct me if I'm mistaken. Not seeing anyone. Okay. If let's start just as usual with just questions from the board for clarification, and if there are none, we'll go to public comment and then back to the board for debate. I see nobody raising their hands here. So, is there anybody out there in the public that wishes to comment on this item? And while I'm waiting for them, Osana, nothing. Okay. I'll give it another second here. Okay, no comments from the public, so we'll come back to the board for debate, and I see Director Gray's hand is up.
I'd like to make a motion.
Okay.
After Engineer D'Enzo's excellent presentation, I think I'm pretty confident in moving that we approve the Board of Directors of the Camry Community Services District approves terminating work under emergency contracts to repair the San Simeon transmission water main, or otherwise known as resolution number 07222.
Okay, thank you. Let me call for a second and then we'll have debate. Is there a second to the motion? Director Farmer, do you wish to second the motion?
Yes, I do wish to second the motion, but I'd like to ask Ray a particular question.
Oh, wait, you're out of order. Let me do that, and then you can come back with your question. I just want to follow the proper thing. So it's been moved and seconded to adopt Resolution 7-2022, declaring that the emergency is over, as the San Simeon, terminating work under emergency contracts to repair the San Simeon transition water main. So now we're open for discussion. So go ahead, Director Farmer.
Yeah, excuse me, President Howell. Okay. I just wanted to ask Ray, and we are so fortunate, considering the water situation with just the one well available from Santa Rosa, that we made this through without any real serious problem taking place with regard to water service for the community. What I wanted to ask you, Ray, is if I understand this correctly, this is just a temporary solution to the problem. Do we have any idea when we'll be moving forward with something more permanent? And obviously that requires having a design as to how we're going to be moving forward, getting the permits for it, getting the funding for it. Do we have any idea when we'll be approaching the issue from that perspective down the road?
Yes. Mr. D'Anzo, would you care to answer that?
I do intend to agendize this issue because I really can't be, speaking on the fly on this because there's a lot of ideas that are floating around, but I do intend to agendize this and I kind of need to do it quickly. So, most likely either February or early March, we'll have an agendized item that will show a path forward on how we will move forward with a permanent solution.
Oh, thank you, Mr. D'Anzo. So we'll be looking for that. And I think then, Director Farmer, you can get an answer at that time, perhaps where there's a little more, when a little more facts are available.
Well, I just want to say that I had no idea that Ray would be moving on it that quickly. And I want to thank him for doing that. So thank you, Ray. I know you've got a lot on your plate. So thank you very much.
Okay, very good. Let's see, Director Gray, you had your hand up. No? Okay. Is there any further debate on this motion? Seeing none, I think we're ready for a vote. So, Osana, would you please call the roll? I'm not sure she heard me.
If she is.
Hi, sorry about that. I apologize.
I'm sorry. Yeah, we're ready to, there's a motion to adopt resolution 07-2022.
Yes.
And yeah, so we're ready. And it was moved by Director.
Yes, I know who, yeah.
Okay, you got that. Okay.
So, right. Yeah. So Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray, aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. Director Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. I read your
three times.
Vice President Dean.
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And President Howell.
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. Five ayes unanimously to vote for Resolution 07-2022. Terminating the emergency declaration. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you. Before we go on to item B, I think looking at the clock here that it might be wise, I don't think we can do the next two items in 15 minutes, so I think we're going to need a little more time. May I suggest that we go at least till quarter after five on this? Director Farmer.
I was just going to say make a motion till 5:30, just be on the safe side.
Okay. It's been moved. Is there a sec? I see a nodding second from Vice President Dean. So it's been moved and seconded to continue the meeting until, what did we say, 5:30, right? Okay. Even though I know, Council, according to the code, it looks like we're really supposed to do a roll call, but can I just ask for unanimous consent?
I'm okay with that.
Okay, as long as you're okay with it. So, yes, let's see. So are there any objections? I'm asking for unanimous consent on this motion. Is there anyone objecting to that? Seeing no objections, motion is adopted by unanimous consent. And this is the motion to extend the meetings. And anything other than that, we would really need to take a roll call. Okay, so let us move forward then. We are now ready for item A, which is the adoption of a resolution declaring stage one baseline condition. So I think we'll do the presentation first, then I'll take public comment after that. So let's see, Mr. GM Weigold, are you available for this, or would you like Mr. D'Enzo to present while you work on the strategic plan?
The strategic plan's already done.
Whoa, I'm impressed. Okay, please present this item then.
So yes, President Howell, agenda item 8A is discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 05-2022, declaring a stage one baseline condition. Staff recommends that the board receive a report on the district's water supply outlook and consider adoption of resolution 05-2022, declaring a stage one baseline condition. To that end, I think it's going to be, District Engineer D'Enzo, are you going to present this, or is this?
Melissa will be, Ms. Bland will be presenting, but okay. I will be available for questions as well.
Got it. Okay. President Howell, I'd refer over to Melissa Bland for the presentation.
Thank you, GM Weigold. So, Ms. Bland, you have the floor.
Thank you. And hello again, President Howell and directors. I am here to present staff's recommendation to move through our water shortage contingency plan down to the baseline stage one condition. This stage reminds the community that water use efficiency is a way of life. So as you know, as part of the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan process, staff updated the CCSD's Emergency Water Conservation Program to conform to the state's six standard stages of water shortage. And in June of 2021, your board approved the Water Shortage Contingency Plan along with the 2020 Urban Water Management Plan and adopted these six stages. Just as a quick refresher, each stage calls for a percent reduction in demand based on projected supply deficits. We are currently at a stage four, which calls for up to a 40% reduction in demand. Staff's recommendation is to move to the baseline stage one condition, which is a voluntary stage, and it could result in up to 10% reduction in demand. The stage four has been very effective at curbing what was record high demand back in the spring. In all, we averaged about an 18% reduction month over month during the stage four declaration when compared to the same month the previous year. And that reduction was sufficient to keep our well levels above critical low. So when considering a recommendation for a stage declaration, staff reviews these shortage indicators to inform our analysis. And these ranges represent the min and max recorded based on records available to us going back several decades. And this period of time encompasses several periods of extreme drought, as well as intermittent wet years and average years. Currently, shortage indicators are pointing to stage one levels with the exception of Santa Rosa Well 4. And this is due to the increased production from this source during the emergency San Simeon Wellfield transmission main repair. Staff anticipates that the Santa Rosa levels will stabilize now that the San Simeon production has resumed. I do have more recent well reads on the website for, I think it was January 18th, but I haven't included these since I don't have a mid-month chart. These are all of first of the month, so it would skew the data a bit. So I'm bringing this chart back up again to remind you of the importance of these aquifer trends. As previously reported to you, our San Simeon groundwater levels are indicating fully recharged status. This is also confirmed by the presence of outflow from the San Simeon Creek to the ocean. So if you picture the aquifer as a bucket of water and the creek as a hose in the bucket, our system looks about that way if the bucket were, or if the hose were continually running. As of January 1st, the bucket is full and water is flowing out of it into the Pacific Ocean. During the duration of the wet season, this analogy holds. So our wells are drawing water out of a bucket that is continually being filled. As we draw nearer to the end of the dry season, we typically see a gradual decline in well levels, absent late spring precipitation that hose effectively turns off, and well levels will continue to decline throughout the dry season until the cycle starts all over again.
March. Okay.
So the water shortage contingency plan includes a state mandate to begin an annual assessment of supply and demand beginning April 1st of every year. So this provides staff time to begin an analysis of current shortage indicators compared against historic and recent data trends. This timeline is actually really relevant to our particular system because of that seasonal decline that tends to begin around May. So it's just a reminder that we will be reviewing this data on a month-to-month basis and coming back to you at critical periods so that there is ample time to respond to any early cessation of flow in the San Simeon Creek or an increase in demand like we saw in 2021. And I know that the move down to a stage one from a stage four seems a little drastic, but staff does believe strongly in the mantra that water use efficiency is a way of life. We see it out in our community, regardless of our presence. Cambria is a water conscious community. However, we actually are probably more present now than we've ever been, and we will continue to be so in the coming months. Regardless of the stage declaration that your board makes today, we will continue to aggressively market our water use efficiency walkthroughs, water efficient fixture giveaways, our flume rebates, and outreach through emails and other media. So a stage one does not make conservation less important. It simply conforms to a standard response program that was developed by the state, that being the water shortage contingency plan. And that is it. Do you have any questions?
Thank you, Ms. Bland. So questions from the board for clarification, and then we'll go to the public and then come back for debate. Any questions for Ms. Bland or Mr. D'Enzo? Okay, seeing none, we'll go to the public. So folks out there, I don't see any hands up at the moment. There's about nine of you left. If anyone wishes to speak, now is your chance. All right, I'm not seeing any hands going up. Osana, do we have any written comment? Okay, thank you. So coming back to the board now, so we're open for debate and a motion. Anyone want to talk first or make a motion or do something? Okay, Director Gray.
I'll start off with a motion. I move that the board adopt resolution 052022 declaring a stage one baseline condition.
Thank you. Is there a second to Director Gray's motion? I'm not seeing any. I will go ahead and second the motion. So it's been moved and seconded that the board adopt resolution 5-2022 declaring a stage one baseline condition. Now we're open now for debate. So yes, Director Gray.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
It's meant to be down. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah. Now I see, Director. Are you?
Between, over, yeah.
Okay, got it. Okay. Yes, Director Farmer, followed by Director Steidel.
Thank you, President Howell. You know, I just want to make a couple of comments and observations. It seems, and I took the time actually just before this meeting to look back and see the with regard to the regularity of rainfall. And so sometimes we get very little rain, let's say from October through December, and then we get a lot of rain in let's say January, February, March, and so forth, or vice versa. But rarely have we had a situation recently where we get consistent rain from October all the way through April. So I want to just point out, first off, last year, as we know, we were very fortunate because other than the atmospheric river that we had in late January, we had less than 5 inches of rain for the rest of the rainy season. So we were really blessed and quite fortunate. So with regard to so far this rainy season, we've had, almost 14 inches of rain in October, November, December of the last 3 months. So that's the reason we're in such a fortunate situation. But obviously, so far this month, we had 0.04 inches of rain. I believe it was on Monday, and that's it. The reason I'm bringing this up is because I can understand the reasoning behind going down from stage four to stage one. So I just want to make mention of the fact that some of the items here, two of the items on stage one are the motels posting the fact that there is a water shortage conditions, you know, in the rooms at the motels, and also serving water only upon request at the various restaurants in town. And I believe Ms. Bland and Ms. Gersony kind of stay on top of that. So I'm going to assume that most of the various businesses that this applies to are being very cooperative in this area. But I also want to mention one thing with regard to water shortage warning area stage three. And as Melissa alluded to earlier, we're a very water conscious community. And I would think, like, with regard to two items on stage three, you know, washing only full loads of laundry and or dishes and turning off faucets while you're brushing your teeth or shaving, I'm going to assume that we as residents, this community, are still doing that. So I guess I'm okay with moving back to stage one, but I would just hope that these items like on stage three here, people are aware of the need to do that as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Steidel.
Thank you very much, President Howell. It's probably just the idea of going from four to one seems so significant. And I appreciate the fact that, you know, we've had the rain and the underlying aquifers are excellent and the numerics in play out well right now. I don't know, in some ways, I suppose by doing this, we could call it a test case to see if water use efficiency really is a way of life. But I do have some concerns that that drastic a shift will be sending a message to people that we really don't have to worry about things anymore, that it's all hokey dokey. I don't know if there's any benefit to be thinking in terms of doing a stage two instead of a stage one. I don't know whether that would, in essence, you know, for lack of a better term, bias anything in terms of people's expectations or actions. But I appreciate that the folks who are offering this information and making this recommendation have certainly more background and experience in a lot of this than I do. And I'm certainly willing to, you know, to vote on the basis of what that is. But I guess I'm lending a cautionary tale also that that kind of movement just feels, it gives me a level of discomfort. I'll just leave it at that. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Let's see, Director Dean, followed by Mr. D'Enzo.
I have a I'm going to go ahead and vote for this, but I do have a couple of concerns. We heard in this report that the well levels are down, looking lower for Santa Rosa because that's what we've been pumping during this whole period of time. On the other hand, you could also say that the well levels are upper on San Simeon because we have not been pumping them during all this time. And if we do start pumping them during, you know, in the amount we normally do, are those well levels going to go down to the point where we're going to have to declare a different stage? But I'm going to put my trust into our excellent utilities manager, Ann Melissa Bland, and take the recommendations, but I do feel a sense of caution because of that. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Vice President Dean. Yes, Mr. D'Enzo.
Yes, thank you, President Hal. So I did want to ease some concerns for the board that there are existing water waste prohibitions that our staff will keep an eye on that, you know, for example, what President Farmer brought up about the water on request, like that applies to all stages, even stage one. So, and if data were to change, we would recommend another, you know, but until then, this is, we believe that this data is sound and quite frankly, any kind of pumping on San Simeon, that when we say something is recharged, that means that water level will continue to be replenished. Because right now, any excess is going to flow out into the ocean. So we're, you know, the data shows this historically. And it also historically shows that you don't need much rain to recharge it. So, and it's a good reminder for us that drought conditions are a local issue in a lot of ways. I overgeneralize there, but in our case it is because the way our aquifers are, and right now we have an entire watershed specifically the San Simeon that has replenished, and right now we believe that this stage is a good stage to recommend, and thank you for your support on it.
Oh, okay, thank you, Mr. D'Enzo. Any other comment from the board? Okay, I just have one. It's kind of interesting, but I think the point here is that. Wait a minute. I see Director Farmer. You wanted to speak. Why don't you go first?
Actually, I'd rather hear what you have to say, President Howe. But I will say this: in listening to what the two other directors have said since I spoke, especially Director Steidel, and you know. Using a bit of caution in this area. I want to give kudos to her for her comment as well as Vice President Dean. I just want to say that I think it's important that even if we make this move from 4-1, obviously we're a very water efficient community, but just let people know that we appreciate if they didn't make any changes in their water behavior despite our change, and that things continue as they've been for quite a while now. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. I just wanted to comment one thing, which is we cannot really realistically predict whether or not it's going to rain again. And how much is it going to rain again? So what we have now is a system for deciding what stage we're in without regard to our expectations. Of the climate. So in that sense, I think it's probably a little more objective. And as long as I have this feeling from hearing staff that as long as we're responsive to these objective measures as they change, I think that we will probably be in good shape. And it's not an issue of our, I mean, we've defined it in such a way that it's not a judgment call. We are either, the indicators either indicate it or they don't. And I think that's probably a very safe way to go because it's a little hard to argue with the well level. but I could argue with someone about whether it's going to rain next week. So in that regard, I think I just wanted to mention that. The only concern I do have, and I think I'm satisfied, is that if we seesaw too much from one stage to another, we could, public might lose confidence in our abilities. But I, having listened to the discussions, I don't think that's really going to be an issue. So I am not concerned, and I'm pleased with the work that's been done. So I think, anyway, that's all I had to say on that. So I am in favor of the motion. Do we have any additional debate? All right, seeing none.
Oh, oh, question. A call for question.
Well, yes. Okay, no further debate. So let us go ahead, Osana, and call the roll on this one. Oh, and the motion is to adopt Resolution 5-2022, declaring a Stage 1 baseline condition.
Yes, and Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray, aye. President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell, aye. And Director Farmer?
Yes, with caution, aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel, aye. And Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean, aye. Motion passes unanimously, 5 ayes, 0 nays.
Excellent.
For adopting Resolution 05-2022, declaring a Stage 1 baseline condition. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Osana. We are now ready for B, which is to receive, discuss, and consider the report from the Finance Committee on Strategic Planning, task to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. So again, GM Weigold, I think, is, let me see. Is...
Yes, President Howell, agenda item 8B is receive, discuss, and consider a report from the Finance Committee on Strategic Planning task to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. Staff recommends the board receive, discuss, and consider the report from the Finance Committee on this strategic planning task to identify the underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. As the board may remember, this report was originally presented on November 10th last year and was sent back to the Finance Committee, who reviewed the report again on December 14th and voted 5-0 to forward to the board for review. With that report, I refer this back to you, President Howell.
Thank you, GM Weigold. So I think first we'll again call for public comment on this. Okay, I'm calling for public comment on item 8B. This is the receiving the report from the strategic, from the Finance Committee regarding underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. Okay, any written, I see no written comment, Osana. Okay. I see nothing from the public, so we'll come back to the board. We're ready for debate or discussion. I think the first thing is probably discussion. So does anyone have anything they wish to say? Yes, Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, President Howell. I just wanted to emphasize that, as General Manager Weigold said, this is identical to the report that was forwarded to the board, I think, back in November. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know my question. Of course, my question is, in the interest of time, I think maybe formally receiving it is appropriate at this point. And discussing and considering, I don't know, any of these provisions, I think would be, are somewhat tentative because there's a second report that's being prepared that fills in a lot of the, in a way, answers the questions that are going to be that have been raised by this report. So this is sort of the first of a pair of reports. So I can make a motion that we receive this report and we'll leave it at that. I'll move that the board receives a report from the Finance Committee on Strategic Planning tasks to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services.
A motion to receive a report isn't really necessary, but in the view of the fact that we had sent it back, I think we should acknowledge
making it official. Yeah.
So before Director Farmer, you had your hand up, but unless you're going to second, I'll call on you after the second. Do we have a second on the motion? Director Steidel, is that a second? Okay.
Move. Yes, it is.
Okay. It's been moved and seconded to receive the report from the Finance Committee on Strategic Planning Task to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. So now, Director Farmer, we're now open for debate. So, Director Farmer?
Thank you, President Howell. I just want to make a comment that the ad hoc committee that put this together were Mr. Korn, Ms. Maher, and the late Dwayne Lee. And there has been an adjustment in the initial report. I brought this up in November, and I believe that's one of the reasons that it had to come back to us again. So I just, in the memory of Dwayne, I would just like to read the statement here on page 107 that has been placed here, and then read the original statement that was made when this first came to the ad hoc committee to the finance committee. So if we go to page 107, about let's say two-thirds, three-quarters of the way down, the way it's written now, it says, as the group began its analysis of the issues, it became apparent that there is insufficient revenue for the district to provide the same or expanded services at the level desired by the CCSD department managers. I guess that's a fairly accurate statement. I just want to read what initially the statement was. As the group began its analysis of the issues, it became apparent that there is insufficient revenue for the district to continue to provide the same service at the same level as it has been attempting to do, or to expand services to meet the additional requests. It just seems to me that that initial comment creates a little bit more, how could we say, awareness or concern with regard to how well off the district is moving forward with the demand, financial demands upon the district. For example, what we need financially to upgrade the wastewater plant and other items as well. So I just wanted to make that comment, and especially with regard to any emergency that might come up with regard to, well, how much are we going to have to spend to do a permanent fix on the pipeline? So I just wanted to restate what initially was made by the ad hoc committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Gray.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Is there any further debate? Okay, seeing none, we're ready for a vote. So Osana, please call the roll. Oh, and the motion is to, I'm sorry. We are. The motion is to receive the report from the Finance Committee on Strategic Planning Task to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services.
All right. And Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel. Aye. Director Farmer?
No.
No, Director Farmer, no, thank you. And Vice President Dean.
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean, aye. And President Howell.
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell, aye. Four ayes and one nay, Director Farmer. Thank you.
Thank you, Osana. Thank you very much. What we do with this, I think, well, as Director Gray indicated, as this is material for us to look at, and from this, some board actions may arise. So I think that I should, on behalf of the board, express thanks to the Finance Committee for their work on this. It's a very extensive report. I haven't had a chance to analyze it thoroughly, but I'm looking forward to a little bit additional reading tonight after we're finished. So thank you for that. Then moving to, I think that completes the regular business. Good. So at this point, we have future agenda items. And before I take it from you guys, I wanted just to list some that have come up already that haven't hit the agendas yet, just to assure you all that we're not forgetting about it. Director Steidel asked to have the prioritizing of the Vets Hall repairs at the Vets Hall discussed and considered. And Director Gray asked for discussion and consideration regarding the criteria for going back to in-person or hybrid meetings. In addition, there was other issues, a possible third alternate for PROS, which was tabled until it becomes germane, and that criteria for an RFP for a consultant regarding PROS Commission's master plan and priorities was tabled to be brought back at the appropriate time. So those are on our list. And then what I just heard is that Mr. D'Enzo expects to come back to us with a discussion of a permanent solution to the San Simeon water main temporary repair. So I just want to let you know what was already on our list of things to do. So Director Steidel, followed by Director Gray. Director Steidel, go ahead.
Thank you, President Howell. Yes, I would like to put forward a motion, and I would like to have a vote on this, considering that I'm offering a date certain on it also. And considering the numbers of things that seem to be stacking into February, initially I was thinking in terms of February, but I'm happy to go ahead and extend it to the first meeting of March. So the motion would read that as of a date certain, which is March 10th, 2022, the following agenda item be advanced. Discuss and consider the intent and expectation for the policy committee and its purpose relative to CCSD board needs.
All right. Is there a second?
I second it.
Seconded by Director Gray. Okay. Let's see. This one, I don't think I need to call public comment on this because we're not really actually doing it. Yeah. I did want to mention, I'll call for a vote in a minute on that. I don't see a problem with it, except just to remind you all that we do have the bylaw and the bylaw review of both the board bylaws and the standing committee bylaws should be coming up to us probably around that same time, I'm anticipating. And it could well be that some of these issues might be dealt with in the bylaws. So I just wanted to mention that, but I have no problem other than that, just as to call your attention to that fact. So if there is there a discussion on this motion? Okay, seeing none, let's call for the vote on this, please. Osana, so it's moved to put, I'm gonna leave, I started to write the words down, but I think I'll maybe, Director Steidel, if you could just reread the motion and pretend it's me reading it.
Okay, that as of a date certain, March 10th, 2022, that the following agenda item be advanced. Discuss and consider the intent and expectation for the policy committee and its purpose relative to CCSD board needs.
Thank you, CCSD. I wrote that down too now. Okay, thank you for that. So I think I think we're ready for the question on this. So again, Osana, please call the roll.
Director Steidel, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Steidel, aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray, aye. Director Farmer?
I think I'll abstain from this one.
Okay.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Abstain. Vice President Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Dean. Aye. And President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, President Howell. Aye. 4 ayes and 1 abstain, Farmer. Thank you.
Thank you. I see 2 hands here. We're going to need to, well, I don't know. Are these more future agenda items we're looking at here? Let's see. I don't remember who's first. So I'll start with Director Gray and I'll move across my screen.
I don't have a new one to actually send a new one to vote on, but I think at the last meeting, I had asked for an agenda item on changing the start time of the meeting to 1 p.m.
Oh, right. Yes.
So I just want to remind you of that, keep that in the rotation. Hopefully, maybe a meeting in February, we can take it up.
I won't swear to, but I believe it's at our next meeting.
Okay, good. Good. Thank you. I want to know.
Okay. Yes, Director Farmer.
I saw Ms. Duffield graciously shaking her head on moving it back to 1 o'clock, and I could totally understand that. I just want to make mention of this, and I hope I know Ms. Duffield is always on overload, but just a reminder that at some point, perhaps the second meeting in February, we can have a summary of the cost of the facility now known as the Water Reclamation Facility from 2014 through 2021, if that's possible. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. That's something that I will be working with you on at this point before we and trying to decide how to deal with that. So we haven't forgotten about it. And in fact, it's on the agenda for first meeting in February, I think. Yeah, February 10th. So, but I need to talk to you about it in further in greater detail as to how we proceed on that. Any other future agenda items? Director Seidel, your hand is up.
Just comment. I'm hopeful that whenever the issue on the cost comes up again, that the consideration that I requested back last year of an explanation of what Director Farmer's position is on that value is available for review, so that we can understand if there's a difference between what he feels the number is and what our finance manager provides. We can have them both side by side as reference to understand why there would be a difference in perception.
Yeah, thank you for that observation. Yeah, we're working on this issue to try to see if we can't reach a resolution that reach some agreement. I have to tell you though that our finance manager right now is extremely busy, and that's putting it mildly. So I think the first cut at this will probably be Director Farmer and me kind of producing something and then maybe massaging it in a way that we can have a discussion and then at some point bring Ms. Duffield in without causing her to have to do a whole lot of extra work. Because right now her time is there are only 24 hours a day, and I think you'd be happy, would you not, if there were, say, 30 in a day? Anyway, so.
Probably not.
Really noted, though. So the whole issue here, we'll see if we can get some clarity on it. Any other agenda items to add to our list? It's not like we're short of stuff to do, though, is it? Okay. I think at this point, we are ready to go to closed session, but we'll need to extend in order to do that. May I suggest extending to 6 o'clock? Do I have any? I don't see any horrible looks of pain. So again, let's do it without objection. Let's see. I'll move that we continue till 6. Anybody want to second that? Seconded by Vice President Dean and by Director Gray, and then we'll do it with, I'm asking for unanimous consent, so do I have unanimous consent to extend the meeting to 6 o'clock?
Yeah.
Okay, seeing no objection, it has been unanimously decided to go till 6. Do we need to do something before we go? Yes, we do, don't we?
Public comment.
Public comment. All right. Now, we still have some public here, too, who have been very patient, and I see a hand going up. So this is public comment on our closed session, which is a public employee performance evaluation. So let's see. Yes, okay, Christine?
Thank you, President Howell. This is yet another evaluation of General Manager Weigel's job performance. I ask the board again to consider Mr. Weigel's absence from the district to pursue other professional opportunities, and please reduce his salary proportionately. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Heinrichs. Do I have any further other additional public comment? All right, not seeing any. Do we have anything from the any written comment, Osana? Yes, was that a yes? Oh, that's a no. Okay, so there is no written comment. So we'll close the public comment period. And Mr. Carmel, do we need to do anything else here? Or do we just adjourn to closed session at this point?
We just adjourned to closed session, which is agenda item 10.
Ah, righto. We are now adjourning to closed session. And why don't we take a 5-minute break before we start? So we'll come back at 5:30. Well, how about a 4-minute break? 5:30?
5:30.
5:30, okay. See you all at 5:30. Okay.